want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, got them on. All microphones are operating.
We are ready.
Here you go. Get ready for the big pre-show.
Yay!
The pre-show. It's the stuff before we actually go on the air. All the little papers are lined up now.
Lined up.
All the little notes are written.
Very good.
Everything's here. Look at that. 08:05:04 Thursday. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Groaners, got them. Yay!
Good.
Who calls a show this early? We've just started.
Crazy people.
Area code. What is this area code? Oh,
they're gone. They got scared. What?
Yeah, just hold on. Let me try another line.
Are you afraid?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Why are you calling the show so early? We just cracked the mic. We've not even been on for 1 minute.
Haven't really started.
So I wanted to start the show off on a good note.
Really?
Yes. I've been listening to your show ever since you came on in Dallas. You're on, as I'm sure you know, midnight to 3 in the morning.
Hold on. So you mean the first caller of the
good
show?
Yeah. Well, see, I give him a free pass because he's calling when we're not on where he lives.
So that's why you would
call
be.
Anytime.
That's why you would be calling right at the absolute very beginning of the show.
Yeah, he's really not early. He's 12 hours late.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you're enjoying the show?
Yes, most definitely. At least I will be tonight.
Well, that's great. And see, that's the advantage you have.
He won't hear it buzzing tonight at midnight.
Then he'll
enjoy it. Let me just say,
So really, technically, he's assuring himself a little more sleep if he decides to, he gets some sack time after he calls the show. If it was the end of the show, then he'd have to wait till 3 a.m.
Right, now he can catch a nap.
Yeah.
You know, go chill out, wait to hear himself on the radio tonight.
Right, and then right after midnight, about 12:10. Go. It's sack time.
Yeah, right.
Catch a nap, an early nap. There we go.
Okay. Well, and here's the only problem with time delay. What? God forbid, as we speak to you now, it's 7, 8, 9. How many hours? 9 hours till this airs in Dallas.
Right.
I hope nothing bad happens in the world between now and then, so we don't appear to be
ignoring
just dumb idiot disc jockeys. Like,
that is the risk that we run all the time when we're talking about tape delay in any of the markets where we're tape delayed. We run the complete risk of appearing to be out of touch.
That's it. But
very dangerous.
Other than that, I'm pretty sure I feel good about our homeland security. Mm-hmm. I think I can guarantee to the American people.
Wait a minute. No, salt. Throw salt over your shoulder.
Okay, of course, but that's what I'm discussing. Mike, anything can happen.
Maybe it wouldn't be a warranty either, You think there's a good chance?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that nothing bad, or let me tone it down.
We never know.
I think you'll like this one.
Right.
You like this toned down version.
Mm-hmm.
Even if those killer thunderstorms, which are currently plaguing the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come through your area again tonight with sweeping rains causing elevated flood levels in the Metroplex. Even if that happens, I hope we don't appear insensitive by not addressing that while speaking to you in this light tone.
I think you've successfully covered it.
Yeah, it'll be okay, I'm sure.
So no matter what happens. Okay, cool.
Anything else to contribute, young person?
No, I think that's about all.
Okay, that's all. And everybody else that's calling right now, you just wait till the phone scan.
Right.
Yeah. Wait till the phone scan or wait until we're talking about something you can talk about.
Absolutely.
Because now they're all going crazy, you're all going to get in now. Sorry.
Nope.
We have completely lame groaners.
Yes, we do.
Hello. Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
I'm a superstar disc jockey from New York City.
And I'm president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
Where can men on Wall Street go to get a new scrotum? This one says, careful, Chester.
Right,
the
New York Sack Exchange.
There you go.
Thank you.
Mill Drysdale.
Every now and then I like to write them myself because they're so lame. Well,
what is the most popular classic rock band among dyslexics? Of course, it's Hot. That's like two Foghat jokes in 1 week. And here you go, final one. Hello, This is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills.
What do you get when you cross a pedophile and a pirate?
Arr!
What? Kelly. Arr! Kelly.
Oh, God.
See? Don't you get jokes?
Hey, no.
Here's on in my show.
Wow.
We're still not paying for those.
No, we're not.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right. And
here's
the little girl.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
You know what my guys love about this show?
What?
It's free.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. They'll poke you in the eye and all the ships at sea. Remember their guarantee. No fake breasts, no condoms, all naked sex.
Yeah.
And entertainment value. Here are Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one, Rob.
Thank you for listening, everybody. This is the Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Thursday, 08, 05, 04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Yes, hi, Buzz, and thank you for listening, everybody. This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's Thursday. It's August 5th, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. You're not going to get me with the watch thing.
No, I was...
You were checking the date.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. All right, I'm with you. I knew you were paying attention. It wasn't a diss. You simply were looking to make sure that, you know, your watch said the date that I just said.
Yeah, I had to write a couple of checks today.
Got it. Okay, and I know what those checks were for.
You're welcome.
That would be, of course, you're not saying you're welcome to me.
No.
You're saying you're welcome to somebody else.
Thank you. We're on, you know, you can tell in the first 10 seconds of a show,
mm-hmm.
Don and I occasionally will do this little gamesmanship to see if our brains are working as one, as they often want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, it is working today.
I witnessed it.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use red ink when you sign?
No, I do not.
I was just curious.
No.
I'm curious.
No, I believe we should move forward now.
No, I'll just mention this, Mike.
Yes,
that
yes.
I signed some document. Here's my problem, is that pretty much whatever they put in front of me, I just sign.
Right.
You know,
right.
Whatever the new release is, the things that, you know, you promise that you're not going to give scabies to your fellow Viacom CBS employee.
Right.
I just sign. Here you go, right here.
Did we have to promise
them? Here you go. Now, yes, Buzz, you didn't sign the scabies memo. As you know, Freelight, 23 years. Please wait with gratuitous applause.
Saturday, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Saturday's our 23rd anniversary. So, getting a car, going out with our good friends, Buzz and Marcia, and they wanted a fax thing about how I'm going to pay for this, and Rob said to me, oh, you got to sign this thing. Frida filled it out, and then I signed it, and see, it just doesn't look right because I signed it using a red Sharpie.
Yes.
And apparently, when my wife has gone to the bank with checks and junk, they don't like it either.
Technically, only black ink is legal.
Right, but I love the Sharpie. Before T.O. made Sharpies famous,
mm-hmm.
I've been a Sharpie lover since day one.
I know.
And Mike signs all his checks still with the big feathered plume, right?
I do, yes, much like in 1776. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Mike, the...
I sign the pens the way I like to.
Of course, John.
My point is that here...
Thank you, Buzz.
The ink is red.
Yes, it is.
The ink is red.
Thick and red.
Much as the ink...
Thick red plume.
That I'm sure you used as well.
Yes, of course.
Although, let me...
I did indeed.
Let me try the happiest place on earth.
Please do.
You might know this as Disneyland. You might know this as Knott's Berry Farm or, you know, Six Flags.
But no. Or heaven.
No. I call it my house.
Your abode. Your humble abode.
And is all the fun ended there? Oh, for goodness sakes. Now, this is not real. This is really not right.
Hello? That's,
there he is. Hola.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Is Mom there?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
May I speak with her?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
You hear it smell filled with pop-ups, but I just opened it.
Hello?
Hello?
Just went on.
Okay.
Okay. Are you on a speaker?
No. Do I sound like it?
Yeah, well, I just because I can hear the other combatant
on
the phone.
No, he's just telling me something about the computer.
Okay, I got you. Here's the other... First, I want to say to you, honey, darling, because you're going to be working tomorrow.
Right.
And I don't want to call you at work. And, you know, I always call you... well, I call you all the time, but I always call you right before on our anniversary to say I love you. And I love you, and it'll be 23 years for us on
pretty good.
On Saturday. So now I will accept the gratuitous applause. Survivor.
Because
I won't have her on tomorrow because she's going to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you know, I love you and all that jazz.
I love you too, Sugar Bear. It just it keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I would have to say, yes, it does. Here's the part that's not getting better, though. We have 9 days left now until the boy, our son, goes back to college.
Right.
And this is what happened today at the house. The boy punched his fist through the wall.
Oh, dear.
Now,
He was unhappy.
Now, it was not a fight with me, a fight with Frida. He was mad at himself.
It was frustration.
Yes. Yes, it was. Which...
Going to orange frustration.
Yes, which just means this whole countdown thing now takes on an entire new level. And I can't say I respect his privacy enough. I throw enough of my dirty laundry and my family's dirty laundry on the radio. I won't tell you why he punched his fist into the wall. But there are some things he has to do. These are the things that you have to do when you're growing up, when you're 19, when you're an adult. And if you don't do it, things happen. There are repercussions.
Right.
And he's finding out that if you just keep procrastinating and procrastinating, eventually it will bite you in the ass.
Mm.
And then when something bites you in the ass, the response shouldn't be to punch a hole in the wall.
No.
Yeah.
And
I can safely say that probably doesn't come from my side of the family.
I know that in the 23 years that we've been married, I've only put my hand through, and it's not even a wall, it was through a closet door,
mm-hmm.
only one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that I was absolutely right to do it. Looking back at it now, and it was.
You have no idea why you did that.
No, yes, I do.
Why? I have no idea.
I know why.
Why?
It's when we lived in Arlington.
I remember the closet.
And when Bart was a baby.
Right.
And we had no money. I mean, we were doing okay, but we like had we were really.
Wait a minute! Somebody's joining us,
Dad.
Yeah.
I just thought you'd like to know. I didn't mean to put my arms to the wall.
All right, thanks. Thank you for the mea culpa. I appreciate it.
No. I meant to hit the wall, but I didn't mean.
He didn't know how strong he was.
Exactly. It's seldom on purpose.
Right.
All right, well, Bart, you go back to doing what you're doing.
Oh.
Which is...
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, I'll get the phone.
Go get that
good
phone.
Good idea.
I'm sure it's for you. I remember the fight, and here was the fight. And it had to be Bart was a newborn. Mm-hmm. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because this is riveting.
Yeah,
this really
it is.
I'm curious.
I mean, sometimes I'll like...
Too.
I'll do my little contribution here and I'll comment and I can. I'm just listening. I'm studying this. This is pretty intense.
Yes. The fight 20 years ago was that we had a newborn baby.
Right.
I was not making a great amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Were you working for Alan then?
Alan Goodman.
Yeah, Alan Linewine.
Alan Goodman. And there was a pair of Michael it's when Air Jordans first came out, the hideous red, black, and blue Air Jordans.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day, whenever this was, 20 years ago, whenever it was, they were like $120 a pair.
Right. Yeah.
And we had money for our rent and our car payment and our baby, and that was about it. And I went out, just because I'm me, and bought these ridiculous shoes that I came home wearing and looking like I'm all proud. And you said something to me like, great, we can't pay our rent now, but I'm glad that you have those clown shoes on. And I said something like, hey, these are cool shoes.
Yeah.
And you said something to me like, you're a parent, you have a baby that's sleeping in the next room that needs food, and we have to pay our bills, but you went out and bought Air Jordans, and you don't even play basketball. And, you know, at that point, I was just... I was mad. I was, you know, it was that age. You got a newborn.
Yeah.
Your life has entirely changed. And I just went, I can't take this. boom! And I was surprised that my fist even went through.
And you didn't mean to. Well, it runs in the family, superhuman strength.
But no, it was like a door to where the air filter was. So it was one of those doors that has the slats on
right,
it. So
right.
It wasn't solid.
It wasn't a walnut.
No, like you're breaking cinder blocks with your forehead.
Not at all. It was a weakling even back then. But that's the only time. I mean, we're not violent people. I mean, we're violent with our words as a family, but we're not violent with our
fists. No, we're not even violent with our words. You know, to all the young newlyweds out there, I think one of the things that has saved us over the year and through the very vocal fights that we've had is that we never hit below the belt.
Unless it's absolutely necessary.
No, we never do. I mean, we never say something that you can't take back.
Okay, but you are the winner at saying the cruelest thing, though.
No, I don't. Sugar, if you knew what I was thinking, what I say is tip of the iceberg.
Honey, I've heard this many times. It's Mount Vesuvius. I've heard this. You know,
if you think
I've given you a hard time, I've only told you one or two things that I would tell
you. I've never said anything about your family, or you never critique me on my looks, or I don't critique you that way.
You're beautiful, and I look like Jim Belushi.
You're very sweet.
And incidentally, that's a compliment for me. Now that I can say I look like Jim Belushi, now that I lost some weight.
Right.
For me, that's like a handsome role model.
Really?
To tell people that, I look like Jim
Belushi's body.
Oh, with Dustin Hoffman's face. Which is nice. Anyway,
absolutely.
Happy early anniversary.
Well, thank you, my sugar bear.
And just think, only about a week, you know.
I know.
And
how about you could take everything back that you said? Isn't that the rule? Not everything.
No, there's some things that a person will never let you forget.
Okay, well, maybe that's why I'm not married.
Anyway, just 9 days now until Mr. Wonderful goes back to college.
Yeah, I know.
And I won't get into the details on this, but let me just say, he is Mr. Last Minute, and not only is he last minute, here's the thing about him, and I hope this serves him well in life,
mm-hmm.
He's last minute and he's lucky. He's got the three L's.
Uh-huh.
He's lazy, he's last minute, and he's lucky.
There you go.
You know, he's got a couple of things he's had to do.
That'll get you far.
He's procrastinated.
Got me through college.
Thought today that the world, that, you know, that was it. It was upside down.
Are you saying that those three L's apply to you, too?
Oh, my God,
lazy,
absolutely.
Lazy, last minute, and lucky.
Well, not now as much as when I was in college, but when I was in college.
Okay.
Absolutely, because I remember I got an macroeconomics exam back, a final, that I got a B+ on. And I wanted at that moment to stand up in front of the class and go, today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. But yeah, I mean, I crammed for every exam I had.
If today you're not lazy, last minute, and lucky, you're none of those, or you're just...
I am not.
That's why you gotta start with him.
No, bring it on, baby, I'm ready for you today. I will tell you that I'm still a little lazy. Very, very last minute on occasion, but I am not lucky.
You are lucky.
No, I just got back from Atlantic City, Frida. I am no longer lucky.
We're all
lucky in life, Mike. Lucky in life.
You know what? I get a bill that comes in, and I pay my bill now online the day it comes in. So I am not last minute anymore. No, I don't. I don't do last minute stuff. You know, I really don't.
Anyway, my kid is. It's the three L's.
Pretty common, I
think. And the fourth L would be, of course, love. Because, gosh, I love
you
it.
You know, I know what she's getting at.
What?
It's a birthday thing. I heard the laugh. I heard the chuckle. I know you sometimes.
I'm melded in my old age.
I was sitting, why is she doing that? And then I'm like, yeah, that's it. I am last.
Oh, because you said you'd get her something for her birthday.
No, and I don't even say all the things I'm thinking with you either. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just I know that you're not one to get to work really early.
Right.
You know, so I would put you in the last minute category there.
Yeah, but I mean, I have a time that I'm expected at work every day, and I'm usually there. You know, I'm not like coming in at the last minute. You see, the last half hour.
Don't
pick on
me. Pile on me. Don't pile on the other guys.
You know what? I don't have a woman that is married to me currently. So right now, you know, it's something that I sometimes it's a little refreshing
and
to get a little of this.
It's gentle, oh, and it reminds him that he's glad to be single.
It can never be refreshing.
I think, really, that right now I'm content.
Even as I tell you now, after almost 23 years of being married to the same woman and I love her, it ain't refreshing. And I say that, I love her.
Sugar, because he doesn't have to come home to me. You know? So he doesn't mind.
All right, well, darling, here we go. That's the update. Kid puts fist through wall. But again, lazy, lucky, and late. That's his story, but he's going to pull it all together in time for the big caravan down to Clemson next weekend.
Very good.
As he goes back to college, and Excellent. Then we try to get our life back to normal. All right, baby. Love you.
I love
and
you, too.
Happy early anniversary.
Thank you. I look forward to celebrating with you.
That's right. Ellen and Buzz and Marcia.
Yeah. Good. We'll see you then.
The only couple that can beat us in the longevity.
Yeah, that's you guys together. That's quite a track.
Almost survivors.
That's over what is that, like 100 years of marriage?
Yes, between us? Yes, it is.
That's a lot. All right, baby. All right, I'll see you.
Bye, sweetie.
All right, goodbye. So that's
throw my 13 in. You know, that would be something special right there, wouldn't it?
I do have to mention a lady we talked about yesterday. What?
I'm laughing at myself.
Is that 13 combined?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13 combined. 7 and 6, I believe. Give or take.
Give or take.
157 months in toto.
Happiest months in my existence. Absolutely.
You know, there's some of what you say that's true, but there's some of what you say that's... You know what I mean?
It's the good and the bad.
That's what I'm trying to say.
If you are looking at the person that realizes that you deal with what life lays in your lap. You deal with it, and you go on. And, I believe me, it's an old cliche, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That is very true.
Mm-hmm. Right, or you kill her. That's simply...
never.
The other rule.
Never.
You wouldn't do that. You're no O.J.
Neither one.
Scott Peterson, you're no hacker or whatever.
No, and see, those guys...
dude's name is...
Those guys are scum. I mean, if you deal with a bad relationship, you deal with it. That's what happens. That's life.
Right. You know what Mike does?
And you love your kids. I mean, that's what I tell everybody. Seriously, no matter what life throws your way, if you bring little warm bodies into this world, you take care of your kids. Number one. Yeah. All the time. That's the most important. Rob's going to have to get out of here. No, Rob, I know you love your kids.
It's a myth.
Like I do.
And the only time that you have ever even thought about you, so occasionally you hit your wife with your wallet. That's all I want to say. Occasionally with your wallet, you've had to bitch slap her a few times. Just so the right amount would come out.
Oh, my God.
All I want to say.
Oh, dear. I'm Jack. You can always tell I'm Jack because I get my kids this weekend. And I, you know, and it's been 2 weekends since I've had them. And so I'm very, very kind of pumped up to see him.
See how different we are?
Yeah.
I love my kid more than anything.
Well, you spend, you know...
I'm counting the days until he goes back to college.
I tell people this all the time. When you're dealing with the word is broken home. That's what it is. There's no pretty way of putting it. That's what it's called. The fact is, you enjoy the time you have, and I think to a certain extent, when you don't have that obligation, you make the most of that time too. And that's the reality of it. You can't be completely devastated when you don't have your kids, and you can't be, you know, completely overwhelmed when you have them. It's you got to create a balance there. I'm trying. I mean, it's a work in progress.
No,
but
I know.
But I get so I think more than that I can ever remember. And I don't even know what I'm doing with them yet. I don't know what we're going to do something fun, and I don't know what it is. But I'm more jacked to see my kids this weekend than I have ever been. I miss them. I miss them so much. It's great.
And I'm more excited to take my son to college than I ever have.
Of course. Yeah. But look what you've done. I mean, what you've done and what I've done, I mean, it's a different deal, you know?
I'm kidding.
And I've heard from more than one person with two daughters that when those teen years happen, you know.
Oh, don't forget.
I'll like certain weekends more than others, you know.
I got that one thing here. I'll get to it at some point. This poll of young girls.
Oh, that's scary.
Very scary.
God, that's scary.
Stuff that they're doing now. Listen, yesterday when we were talking to the women here at the station about Big Feet, one of the women that we mentioned who we were not able to get a hold of was a woman that we called Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford, yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what this lady's real name is. All I know is that she did make me laugh. What's her name, Robbie?
I'll find out.
Susan, I think.
When I walked into the station...
It's the furniture, Rob.
That's right.
When I walked into the station today, she was walking out. And I said, hi, and she said, hi, and then she stopped and looked for a second, and she said, incidentally, they're size 8s. And she walked away. So I think she's cool with the nickname.
Okay, good.
Joan Crawford.
That's a good thing.
So we'll find out who the hell she is. Do you have a name for her, Robbie?
Linda D.
Ah. Linda D. Oh, okay. Linda D.
Right. Have a seat.
Also from, hi there, Joan Crawford. Oh, I'm very upset. I have not yet gotten my Madden 2005.
Oh, no.
I was supposed to have it today.
Tomorrow.
A week before everybody gets it.
You did 20 minutes on that yesterday.
It's not here yet. There's a problem with the video company that we're getting it from. I don't want to get into the sordid details of it.
The game has a wedgie.
But I'm jonesing here for it. And I've like built my entire week around the fact that today's Thursday. It's a week before the game goes on the market. I'm going to have it tonight. I'm going to get home. I'm going to break it in.
Don't the people at, is it EA Sports?
Yeah.
Don't the people at EA Sports know who they're dealing with here?
No, listen. The thing is, there are...
I see you on there going, it's in the game.
Would I love that. I can't tell you. I told you, I get pissed off when I turn it on and it's that nerd from the Washington area.
Right.
Some kid that won the Madden tournament.
Right.
I know because he's got a Redskins jersey on.
Right.
And he goes, and his prize was... Every 10th time you turn on the game, it's not an NFL guy. It's this guy going, hi, this is Milhouse from The Simpsons. And I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm the Madden 2003 champion. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Right.
So even having said that, I don't have it yet. I wanted it so bad for today. But I'll live with that disappointment. Solace in the fact that football starts on Monday. And I do have... a Super Bowl prediction that I know everybody does one, but really write it down because I've already done three mock drafts for our fantasy football draft.
And you give me a hard time about making predictions for the baseball season.
But Mike, I want you to know something that this is like I'm telling you something. I'm not willing to bet anybody. I'm just saying.
Well, where is the fun in that?
The fun in that is going to be 9 months from now, 8 months from now, when everybody says, oh, my God, on August 5th, you actually said that.
Yeah, and I think that the joy will be there, but I think there would also be joy in knowing that there was something on the line.
And
I think that's a prediction that exists on this show.
But this is a simple prediction. I don't have any type of fan loyalty to either of these teams.
I think before we go on and on about this, perhaps do you want to make your prediction?
Yes.
Right. As a favor, will you do it as Jim Nance?
Friends.
Thank you.
Friends, Jim Nance, of course. Friends, terribly, terribly saddened by my demotion. For CBS Sports.
Oh, I'm dying for this prediction.
I won't be on with Dan Boomer.
Come on. Instead,
I'll be in a booth with Phil Sims. Okay, Atlanta against Indianapolis. It ain't sexy, but mark my words.
Want to bet?
You'd have to give me some pretty good odds because those are pretty crazy teams. I'm throwing my credibility out as a man. To quote Buzz from his press release,
yes.
My credibility. That's what's on the line. I don't care if people call me in December if both these teams are out of the playoffs.
You don't like paying bets off.
Say you're a dope. Well, no, I will pay off a bet that I feel very, very strongly about. For instance, if you wanted to bet me that Atlanta wins the AFC South, and they're in the division with Carolina, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans. I take that bet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to bet you that Atlanta will make the playoffs? Not a sure thing. I'll bet you that.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why are you... what is it that you... you got to give me some gigantic payoff if I'm just saying, these are the teams... All I wanted to do was just...
I was just thinking...
Throw out a Super Bowl prediction in August.
I was just thinking that if we... You know, had something on the line. Yeah, it just makes sports more interesting for me, especially
football.
Well,
just forget I said it then. Like, you forget half the stuff I say anyway. So just put this in the half the stuff that I say that you forget.
Atlanta, Indianapolis.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank God it's branded into my brain now.
Okay, so you remember it now. And
Peyton Manning, Michael Vick.
Right, if I'm
right. Battle of the big QBs.
Right, I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
But who wins the game?
Who wins the game? I don't know, Rob. What? Atlanta!
Okay, thank you.
Atlanta! The Atlanta Falcons win the Super Bowl.
Not a chance.
You know, man, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just fun to say not a chance. What are you, high?
I'm just like Jim Carrey in that movie. I'm just talking out of my butt. That's all I'm doing, talking out of my butt.
That's a little bit.
The girl up, I got a lot of stuff I want to get through here. The girl up front,
Carissa.
Right, the girl who is the temp.
Yes.
Dig what I heard about this girl yesterday. I heard that besides the fact that she's dating Greg Edger, which means very
well, is she dating or did they just go out to lunch?
They went to lunch and very soon.
She's
with child.
No, stop it.
And Mike, the child that's already been found out. The child's only one day old. The child has VD.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. My God.
Look at Buzz. What?
Buzz gave you that. Oh, my goodness.
Do you know Carissa? Same is right that here. What it is?
Well, no. Well, I mean, we just chat when I go by. And I just, you know, I do too. She's very nice. An innocent victim, really.
Oh, no. We're just having fun.
She's not innocent if she went out to lunch with Greg.
No, not anymore.
Okay? I think what it is that her judgment was clouded by the bright lights of show business.
Gross. Stop it.
It was. The glamorous Greg Edger
right,
comes
you
up.
See, getting hate man, away from microphone now. Okay? Gasoline pourer.
All right. He doesn't have to pour the gasoline. Right. This fire
all right.
This fire is burning.
Yes.
All right. The fire is already burning. Much like her.
Right. Yes.
Okay, I hit the dump button.
Wow.
I hit the dump button.
Okay. Hey,
I hit it on you a couple of times last week, so I'm just catching up.
I know. Okay.
That was funny, right, though.
Just thank you, bro.
Right.
Just let me say, you know, fire extinguisher, get one immediately.
Right.
Apply
yes
as needed after you've been with Greg Edger. even having a meal with him. Even
listen, Greg Edger, the real enchilada.
You can get VD from this guy if you're at Applebee's with him. All you got to do is use the same ketchup squirter, and you get VD from this guy, Greg Edger, this guy that works here.
Oh, man.
You know, we better break here.
And we can walk by Carissa's desk.
I have no problem walking by. And what I have, the story that I have to tell you about her is something that she does. She's a temp.
Yes.
Something that I've discovered that she does here at the station.
Oh.
I can cover this in just a couple of seconds when we come back from the break.
Like to tell everyone, we don't have any hard evidence that Greg Edger has venereal disease. And to the best of our knowledge, Mr. Edger and the lovely lady at the front simply went out to lunch together.
Well, here's our production wizard, John Norman. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. Just thought you might like to know, Greg was a little uptight about you guys busting his grapes yesterday.
Oh, he was?
A little bit.
Well, he was upset.
Comes with the territory. If Greg wants to call in and yell at it, it's okay. Call in and yell.
Love to have him.
That's okay. Greg's been on the show before.
Absolutely.
He's cool. Mm-hmm. You just got to know. You going to take the temp out? Dude, you got to like park the car two blocks away.
So that
everybody in the building, right, when
well,
Mike,
the way, the
when
way,
Mike I, went out to lunch with Rhea, and Mike doesn't have BD.
He got busted, yeah.
When I... Jesus. Well, I'm not saying anybody has VD.
Right, no one has VD. And, you know, the thing is...
A lot of people do.
Well, yeah. A lot of people. When I took Rhea out, for whatever reason, it was, you know, WJFK day at the restaurant. There were, I believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 employees of the radio station at that restaurant when I wanted to have my secret lunch.
Do you know, really, the thing is that the people here congregate mm-hmm. in one of the cancer corners. There's an upstairs cancer's corner and downstairs in the parking garage.
Right.
And, of course, people watch who comes and goes. And this is what people talk about. I mean, by the mm-hmm. time I pull in, whoever is hanging around downstairs, the first thing I heard when I got to work the other day was, hey, did you hear about...
That's the way the office got
about
right.
Edger. Edger took a, you know, I won't even tell you the stuff I hear about James the intern, who you just met today.
Yeah, who is eavesdropping on us, and is eavesdropping on us always.
Hey, bastard, stop it, because I know a lot of stuff about you, James the intern. I know an awful lot about you.
You take it easy. He's pretty cool.
I don't get that one at all.
Just very cool. Look at him.
Really?
Don't you get the impression he's so cool?
I think he's a cool kid. He
seems
like
he's very
nice
cool.
Yeah.
He thinks he's cool.
He does.
He sure does.
Convertible.
Right.
Anyway. Anyway, there's an awful lot of talk going around about Ain't James the intern.
Really?
Yes, there is. Interesting. These are stories that I've not brought to anybody's attention.
Well, now I want to hear all of them during the commercial break.
Well, I'd rather tell them all on the radio. anyway, I heard something about this girl that's working up front. Nothing that has to do with any disease or anyone who works there.
Thank goodness.
It's the way that she does one of the menial tasks that they ask her to do here at the station. Okay. I thought it was a little odd. Or perhaps, odd not the right word, perhaps... an idea that others will embrace.
Okay.
Perhaps an innovator. Perhaps, an innovator. A great new way of doing a tired old chore.
All right, excellent.
Okay, so we'll talk to her and other stuff when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
Shut up!
WJFK.
Yes, we are.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the Science Building.
Well,
great.
Another week, and we're ready to roll. You got a lot of stuff on that Dynamite Show. No budget jeopardy, strict trivia, too. Power of connection just waiting for you. We got to get right, because we want to play. The Dynamite Show is coming your way. So get ready. Friends just love that Don and Mike.
That's video from Tom Monroe and his tribute to life in the big city. Downtown's the place to be. From Tom's disc entitled Tom Monroe Sings Petula Clark. Little help from Mike McDonald and the Doobies on that one. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Whoops, we got the wrong super up there. Let's try that. On the Jerry Todd Show, there we are. Good morning in the wee small ones of a Saturday morning. We've got some fine video for you and a little chat and hopefully lots of fun. And we'll have some more video for you, but first, let's pay some of those bills.
I watched the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
How are you anyway? Jerry Todd with you. Glad you're along for the ride. Maybe you're at home this morning or at work. Or just around about anywhere enjoying the fine video. Meantime, let's look after some business. We provide this as kind of a public service of the Jerry Todd Show. It's from the community chest, and it's a lost dog announcement. If you're in the vicinity of Ellesmere and Morningside, be on the lookout for a little lost doggy. If you're in the vicinity meantime, keep your eyes open for the little doggy, and we'll see what we can do. Meantime, on the Jerry Todd Show, whoops, that's the second time we've done that this morning. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Let's see if we can get a different color on that this morning. For these are called supers, you see, because they're in front of the picture. Let's see what we can come up with here.
Sanitized for your protection. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Do let me mention that today we're playing for $1,400.
Wow, that is a jackpot.
With the secret sound, the common everyday sound. Wait until you hear the touch tones. We'll tell you when it's time to call in for that. Mm-hmm. Also, we'll have an Ask Car segment on the show today. Mm-hmm. Remember, we were going through our mailbag yesterday. I guess it was Tuesday. And we got that CD from that senator from North Carolina.
State senator from North Carolina.
Right. He's coming on the show today, too. We got so much stuff to get to. Let me see. In no particular order, before we call the receptionist. Mike, I did watch Amish in the City last night.
Yes.
Didn't get into it.
Well, it was not as good as the first week. And it was a little more hateful than the first week. And it just... I was left a little cold by it, too. And that happens with some of these shows, you know, the second time you look at it. And I don't know. I'm going to give it a third week and see what happens.
I'll watch it again because you liked it. And there were parts of it that I thought could be great. But generally speaking, the city kids are all just
nasty
brats.
Mm-hmm. They're total brats.
And the Amish kids are, you know, like you'd expect. They're
predictable.
They're Amish. And
well, the thing is, I think what they may have expected was the Amish kids not to be as nasty as they're being. So, I mean, what you're really getting is a lot of screaming matches. And the bottom line behind all this, the way I'm getting it, is the city kids don't think the Amish kids clean up after themselves. I think that's the gist of it. And, you know,
although
that's fine once, but now it's like that's all they argue about.
They showed plenty of the Amish kids, though, complaining about the city kids not cleaning up. And
the Amish kids complain about the city kids' behavior towards them more than the not cleaning up.
And then when they were on the bus, the Amish guy...
Are you retarded?
And now here's what I play with.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
Well, the guy, you might be somewhat right there.
He kept pulling the string that makes the bus stop.
Because he's never been on a bus and he liked hearing the bell and he was just pulling it. But what gets me is none of the other kids were saying, hey, that's an indication of signal for the
Are
driver.
Are you retarded?
To stop. They didn't do that. They just let him do it.
Yeah. So I wanted to stay with it. But I say I T-voted again. I'll watch it again. We'll see what's happening. This morning, I mentioned this briefly yesterday about Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who I never thought I would say anything about on this show, except what a waste of skin. What a turkey neck on that broad. And whoever would call a DJ for real advice, first off, is nuts.
Yeah.
And then if you listen to her, you're double nuts.
Right.
Having said all of that, she's written a book that I have to say, I am not kidding, I think is great. And I've not read the book. I've only seen her doing the commercials for it.
So you get a little synopsis of the book.
But this morning, she happened to be on one of the chat shows, one of the news shows, and Frieda was talking to me about something else, and I said, I've got the TV on in the background, and what I did was I just slyly turned the volume up a little bit. And here in a nutshell is what Dr. Laura writes. And this surprises me because she's crazy always, and I don't agree with her about anything.
Yeah.
But she says, hey, women, there's a reason that your husbands are leaving you. There's a reason that there's no intimacy in your marriage. The reason is you don't treat him good. That somehow in our society, women have gotten the message over the last 20 years, go to work, take care of yourself, go see your girlfriends, go take care of your kids, go to the meetings, do what you got to do. Don't give your husband a second thought. And she said, your husband, meanwhile, his whole life, all he does is live to please women. Who's the first person your husband sees when he's born? His mom. Who does he live to please? His mom. He still lives to please you. He does all the little things for you. Yet all you do is dwell on the negatives of him. What's the problem with the woman? And, of course, the host on this show, whatever this uptight broad name, she says, well, I would hate to be subservient to my husband. At which Dr. Lawrence says, there's nothing wrong with that. And then this is the part I'm praying that my wife hears. Dr. Laura says, now, there could be times that your husband's going to want to have sex. And you don't want to have sex. You know what the answer to that is? Tough. It's easier for him to get what he needs out of it, and you will feel more intimate and more in touch with him. So the answer is just, the lady on the show is like saying, but aren't we caving in to them? And she says, yes, but don't they cave into us?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they bend over backwards and try to do everything to us? And then she says the one thing that, you know, I certainly don't feel this way, but it was so great because Bart's been out of the house for a year now.
Right.
You know, I just imagine we're having our 23rd anniversary. I love Frieda. Everything's great. But Dr. Laura says the prime time when this happens is when the child leaves to go to college. When the man is looking at things, his son is 18, his daughter's 18, they've left the house, and all of a sudden he looks around and says, why am I still here with a woman who seems to despise me?
Wow.
Now, wow. I'm watching this with Frieda, and I'm not saying a word.
Right.
But I notice, as we're watching this segment, she starts like, rubbing my shoulder and like give me like little, you know, not
so. Dr. Laura's a positive influence on your wife.
Maybe I don't know.
See, that
see, I played it wrong at the very end because at the end of the segment, rather than say, "God damn, go buy that book," you know, go learn something. She didn't say anything. And Frieda said, well, that was interesting. And I said, yeah, it's the exact same spiel that she used on the Today Show, which it was. It was the word for word.
So who'd have thunk it? You're sitting here backing up Laura Schlesinger.
Hey, listen, I say this as a guy that's been married for 23 years. You know, all I hear Dr. Laura preaching is, what's wrong with a woman saying, I'm going to try to make my man happy?
Right.
What the hell? What the freak is wrong with
that? But you are happy, so it's not even relevant to you.
No, it's not. But I'm, as always, I'm thinking of others, Mike. I can't help it. Anyway, it was a great.
Well played.
It was a great awkward moment.
Sure, yeah, it would have been in almost any home.
Great awkward moment.
Well, I just want to say, since you described the book, I haven't heard the description. I just want to say,
yeah, right, gotcha. Now, bravo. Now about the receptionist.
Yes,
here's the reconnaissance on her. We spoke with her yesterday. Now her name, I keep getting mixed.
Carissa.
Up. Carissa, not to be confused with Clarissa. From Clarissa Explains It All.
Right.
How it is that I know this show, don't ask.
God. I love the theme.
It was Melissa Joan Hart.
Right.
Before she was Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And I think I had picked her...
I remember your fascination with her.
I had picked her at an early age so as not to sound perverted to say that I thought that she had potential to be...
That was one of your greatest disappointments.
Beautiful woman.
Well played. She got a early wall syndrome.
She let me down. So, about...
Carissa.
Here's the deal yesterday. Late in the day, she's a temp. She's working at the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
They have given her a bunch of envelopes to stuff and to get in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Here is how she is getting the envelopes done. She puts whatever it is inside the envelope. She has a little thing of water next to her, a pitcher of water, mm-hmm. and then she pours in a little bowl. She takes her hands, puts her hands in the bowl of water,
mm-hmm.
then takes the envelope and rubs her hand over the part of the envelope that has the glue on it,
okay.
and then, you know, folds it down and does it and, mm-hmm. and puts it to the next side.
Okay.
And it was very interesting to watch a girl do this. With I don't know how many different envelopes she had, but
right.
but it
you do risk a paper cut, I would think,
yes.
when that happens.
Yeah, yeah, and what she was doing was taking bottled water.
Uh-huh.
She was sitting at the front desk after whatever ran out of the little bowl.
Right.
When I walked by and saw her, here's what was happening. She's got her hands over the trash can. She's got a big-ass bottle of Evian.
Uh-huh. Oh, certainly the finest.
So what she's doing is, she's just glug, 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 pouring it on her hands, setting the bottle down, then going back to the envelopes, wiping her hands all over the envelopes to get the glue dirty, and then shutting the envelope.
Wow.
Most businesses would have a sponge that you would do that with.
Correct.
I'm sure we don't have a sponge.
I bet we don't.
I bet we do.
I bet we don't have a sponge.
No, no, no.
Yes.
Daily occurrence.
Yeah, you poured the
welcome.
You poured the bottle. Yeah, hi, welcome again, Carissa. You poured the.
Who tipped you off on this information?
You might as well give her the intel on who gave you the intel on that one.
Robbie.
Robbie Gomez?
No, Robbie Spiewak.
Okay.
Oh, Rob Spiewak.
And it shouldn't have been real hard to figure out because I questioned you on it, remember?
That's correct. Right. Exactly.
Right.
Okay. I didn't know who I was talking to.
No, and then I did sneak around the corner and saw you actually pouring the water on your hands out of the bottle.
Well, and I guess the question came up out of all this is, do we have a sponge for that job?
I hope so. I'd like one.
And darling,
like
please don't take this the wrong way. On our old show, it would have been okay. I mean this. How come you don't lick?
I don't like the flavor.
Of the glue?
Glue, sure.
It should be flavored, like strawberry, that kind of thing.
Also,
vanilla.
Yesterday you expressed an interest that it might cause cancer.
I'm Carson the Giant, correct.
Exactly.
That only happens when Jerry Seinfeld.
That's the only time.
Oh, that's right, when George's fiance
that's
dies
right,
from licking the envelope.
Right.
Poison envelope.
Right. So this is your, so you wet the fingers and go to the envelope. Is that your?
I just started that here.
Oh, you just?
I've never done that before.
Oh, wonderful!
Will you do it again?
Rob, were you fascinated with this?
It was fun to watch.
Sure. Fascinated enough to bring it to my attention. Then I still got to look at it, and I thought it fascinating enough to bring up on the air today.
Very good.
It was a weird way of doing what has got to be a boring job.
Well, I got the job done, right? So
yeah, nonetheless, it was effective.
Yes, the job was completed, and I guess tomorrow is your last day, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's very sad. We had so much fun with you these 2 days.
I know. I enjoyed it too.
Hey, listen, don't forget to get your checkup shots.
Oh, God. Remember, how did John Norman
later,
put it?
Later, boys.
Bye, Carissa. Yeah,
bye,
Carissa.
Bye.
Greg didn't like you squeezing his grapes or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, he was uptight about the grape squeezing.
Well, that was just a general about that I say to anyone who's worked here.
Sure. Right.
As you leave the building, make sure you get all your shots. Hey, VA.
Hey.
And we were discussing James the intern a moment ago.
Yes. Fascinating. Are we back on that again? That's good.
What's the story? Want to mention that another one of the people I talked to during the break was Beth Ann, our producer. And
right.
She said, oh, now keep in mind, she's only worked here 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
She's also heard stories about James the intern. Haven't
really?
You? Haven't you, Beth Ann?
Uh-huh, yes, I have. Hmm. And I said, if I've heard them, whoa.
We must interview this James the intern.
Well, I don't know how many. Frankly, I don't know how much of this we could even get on the air.
Really?
He's quite a man.
He's a smith.
What a man.
He's a blacksmith?
Yes, he is.
Somebody's walking around with his collar up.
Yeah.
That's just a stupid look that nobody's bothered to tell him is stupid yet. I mean, the guy wears...
Well, let's find out. B.A., are you attracted to that look?
You know, there's something about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he can get away with it if it were Rob or Don or Mike. Buzz could maybe get away with it.
Right, so Buzz could get away with that.
But if it were Rob or Don or Mike, we couldn't.
Yeah, what are you doing with your collar? Hey, your collar's up.
Yeah, because you know,
don't go outside. Your collar's up.
Is he good looking? He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems to be smart. He's charming. He's charming.
Hold on. What makes you think he's smart?
Because he's so hot.
Right. Okay.
So all the girls think he's hot, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long have you had your eye on him, Beth Ann?
How long have I been here?
2 months. Would you take him home, and would you be like a cat, and would he just be like a ball of yarn?
No, it stops in my mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You would never act on it?
No.
You would never act on your desires?
Not in this city.
Not in this city?
What about in another city?
Maybe.
Is your mind about to explode? All right, James the intern, get that car revved up. We're getting ready to cross the state line.
Hello, Delaware.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A fabulous weekend in Wilmington.
Now, are you going to be embarrassed now that James the intern knows that you have romantic feelings for him?
No, I believe that Madonna and I basically told him today we wanted him to take his clothes off so we could see if he had any tan lines.
A dalliance in Dover.
Now, wouldn't that
be... A rendezvous in Rehoboth.
Wouldn't that be sexual harassment if it was the other way around?
Only if his job depended on it, according to the manual that I've studied and memorized.
You know, I'm afraid, go get him, Rob. I'm afraid we're going to have to bring him in here for a second.
My goodness.
James the intern, stay on the line, please, Beth.
He's a blacksmith.
Please stay on the line.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that he's one of those guys, one of those sword guys.
Yeah, no, yeah. But...
Because look at him.
He's
look
a swordsman.
Yeah. Good-looking guy, you know, frankly, you know, intern, and in my mind, perfectly suited to be an intern.
Mm-hmm.
No chance for advancement. No chance. Now,
do we even have his age? Do we know what his age is?
Too young. Too young, that's all I know. Mm-hmm. Too young to be here.
Absolutely.
Bring him in. Here he is.
Here he comes next.
Big fan of the show, I
understand. Too cool for school. Here's James with his collar up. How you doing, James?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Good.
So,
you.
Yesterday, Madonna and Beth Ann asked you if you would take your pants off. Or?
Yes, they wanted to see if I had a tan line.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They said I had a nice tan, but they wanted to know if there was a tan line.
You dog.
And do you have a tan line, James?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to find out.
No,
huh?
I don't need that. Excuse me. Okay, you're in the wrong way. What, Beth Ann?
That's what he said to us.
Yeah.
That's what he said to you. Oh, we'll have
to find out. He kind of like opened up the door a little bit, and then Madonna and I burst in. So, I mean, that's what he like said that, and then
I do get the impression Madonna's got a lot of pent-up energy.
James, are you aware that, maybe you were listening in the other room, that Beth Ann has pretty much said she loves you?
I did not say that.
I heard.
Well, she wants him.
Yes, well, the phrase is making love, and as you know, I've lived my life under the thought that truly, you only make love when
right.
when you're.
It's not just sex. It's when you're really in love.
Can I say for the record?
Yes.
You know it's better than sex?
What?
The cuddling after.
Of course, it always is.
Thank you, everybody.
How old are you, James?
I'm 23.
23.
Yes.
Now, what was that reaction, Beth Ann? What was that?
He's so young. He's so young.
He's not that young.
He's younger than we are.
What's that?
He's younger than I am.
Mike's girlfriend is much younger than he is.
Right. 23.
What's the age difference between you two? Beth Ann, how old are you? What are you, 45? 43?
Yeah, 43.
20 years. Mike, that's...
It's a state of mind.
Yeah.
Right, that's the
You're
same
as... young as you feel.
That's the same as Mike and Carla.
That's all right.
Age was irrelevant when I started going out with Carla.
I can work with that, B.A. What do you think?
Hey, how about that, B.A.?
Now I'm going to get off the phone.
Wow. See, look at that. I'm from Pennsylvania, too, so we can get out of the state pretty quickly.
You know what?
Yeah.
So he's got the lines. Yeah. He's got it down. He really does.
Listen, don't break her heart. She's a good earner.
All right.
She's a good worker.
I'll be nice. I'll be nice.
You know what I mean? She's a really good producer. I'd hate for her to come in, like, on some Monday and go, I can't. He took me out. And you know what? And now I can't even. I can't work here anymore. James
took me on a date to the movie and left me in the parking lot after we did it in the car.
I don't have any underpants.
He left me in a cornfield on the outside of town. It was so demeaning. I had to thumb back to town half naked.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Get out of here, James.
All right. Thank you, James.
No problem.
Thank you.
There goes the swordsman, James.
Thanks, B.A.
With his collar up.
Yeah. Bye. You only call the custodial people and have Ben come up with a mop? You okay? I'm just making sure you didn't spill anything in the office there.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
No.
I thought that maybe there would be a spill of some kind.
Sippage.
I'm hanging up.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Right, we're getting a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye. See you, Puddles.
Wow.
Here she goes.
All the girls very excited about young James.
Yeah. Hold on. You know what? Phone scan coming up. Let me get to the 877-365. 3636.
877-365-3636. I got confused, too.
Hold on. I want to tell you a story, and that's why I'm trying to keep
sending my breath away.
Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, 202-432-1067. State number is 877-365-3636 for the phone scan, which comes up next. When you were talking, we were doing that thing about B.A.
Right.
He left me by the side of the road. Did I ever tell you the Scott Shannon Sandy Sue story?
No.
This is a great one.
This is something your buddy Shannon did?
Yeah. And this one, this is now BF, before Frida.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Frida was dating somebody else, and I was dating this girl named Donna Jean. Her name is still Donna Jean. And... we were at a radio function, and Frida was there with this other guy, and I was there with this girl. And as it turns out, we both worked at WPGC. He was the program director. And one day he said to me something like, "Hey Juan, you got a whatever he said. You got a car on her? You know, it's his way of you dating exclusively." I said, "No, not at all." So they go out on a date,
mm-hmm.
and Scott Shannon takes her. Out on a date somewhere, and
he takes Donna Jean.
Takes Donna Jean out on a date. This woman that was working part time at the radio station, and Frida's name for her was Sandy Sue, because that was the girl that I was semi involved with when I met Frida,
mm-hmm.
and I would mention, oh, but what about Donna Jean? It was like, oh, you mean the blonde? Oh, Sandy Sue.
Nice.
Where's Sandy Sue? Where's Donna Jean? Where's Sandy Sue? Where's Donna Jean? So anyway, this poor girl. One night she calls me up. Shannon took her out on a date. And I guess the date didn't go well, because as they were on their way back from whatever restaurant it is that they were going to have dinner at,
right.
he simply stopped his car on the side of the road and said to her, "There's the door."
Wow.
And And this was before cell phones.
Oh, dear.
So this girl had to walk to some freaking barn.
Oh, my God.
Where I get a call at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my. So it was in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, they went out to dinner, went out dancing and something. It didn't work out. And Shannon just said, get out of my car.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Like Billy Ocean.
Ouch.
Get in my dreams, get out of my car. So anyway, I get the call and it's like, I'm in Poolsville. I'm at a cabin. And even now, she still called him Super Shando. Super Shando kicked me out of his car.
That is
sick.
My God.
Kicked me out of his car. So I gotta,
did she come back to work?
I got to go pick her up. Yes. Yes. And then he, of course.
So he got away with it.
Well, he got away with it because he's him.
Right.
Because when I asked him about it, I guess it was the Monday then, I got into work and said, hey, what's up? I had to go pick up Donna Jean in the middle of the night on Saturday night. Yeah, boy, you know what? You can have her. She's just not right for me.
Oh, God.
Things were just not meshing for the two of us, boy. So, I just said, listen, if you don't shut up, just get the hell out of my car.
Wow.
That was
a dream date.
That was that was the story. So, see, Beth Ann, it can happen.
That would be, that'd be a great segment on Eliminate.
It can really happen, Beth Ann. You can get left by the side of the road. And if James does that to you, don't call me, because I'm not coming this time.
I'll pick her up.
Thank you. Call Mike, please.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Call Mike. And then,
absolutely.
Then after Frank doesn't take the call Buzz.
Yeah. As it rings and rings and rings.
Now, phone scan. Did we hit that?
Yes, you did.
All right, your live unscreened call's coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. Melted chocolate inside the deck. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here. They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Silly dilly dokio. I'm an idiot. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. They always play the tard card. Don and Mike.
We play the tard card. We play the tard tape.
Are you retarded?
Right.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
No, he's not retarded.
All right, we've answered it. Secret sound today, $1,400.
That is a pile of ones.
That's $1,400 for a common everyday sound. Wait for the touch
zone. Yeah, it'd be about a foot tall, Rob.
Wait for the touch zone and your chance to call in and win the money. Also, gearheads. We'll have a NASCAR segment coming up.
Gearhead.
If you're a gearhead.
I just want to know why Dale did that extracurricular race.
Well, we'll find out about
like
that.
Extracurricular activity.
I like the way you said it better the first time. Extracurricular.
Curricular. I don't understand why he's out in that Corvette doing that extracurricular thing.
Well, the segment is called Inside NASCAR with a guy from Dale Earnhardt. .com.
Oh, that's good. Dale Earnhardt Jr.com, right?
Well, no, I think it's the dead guy still has a website.
Dale Senior?
Think so.
Oh, man.
877-365-3636.
God needed a driver.
Yeah.
He did. But Junior shouldn't be doing all them extracurricular things.
Hello. Don and Mike, this is the phone scan. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I was wondering, I've been listening to your show for a long time, and I've been working lately a lot, and this is the kind of information I would have hoped to have gotten from your show. I was wondering if you guys know why the people on Big Brother 5 are so much dumber even than all the other house guests.
Have you been watching Big Brother 5?
Yeah.
I think you were asking me, weren't you?
Right, yes, I was.
Yeah, and isn't tonight the night that they're going to announce the twins?
The twins, yeah.
I think the people are dumber, but I think it makes for a better show.
Yeah, I think they went around and picked every stereotype or type of person and then got the dumbest person they interviewed.
No, they do. They have construction worker, they have lawyer, they have mom, they have a homo.
You know what amazes me?
A black guy, they got a black chick, they got Asian, they've got them all. And I would agree with the guy, and the twins, they're all equally dumb.
Yeah.
Out of all these reality shows, this is one thought.
If I just could say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Julie Chen is smart. She's so smart.
Just ask Leslie.
She's so smart.
You know, here's the thought, though. Whenever I watch any of these reality shows, you know, you and I got to get up every day, slog into work, and, you know, you can't miss it. What I don't understand, where do they get these people that... Are they independently wealthy? Do they not have to make a living? That can take weeks, even months off at a time.
A lot of them, I think, the maximum time for those shows is maybe 3 months.
I think it's 3 months.
And I think that they even pay you a stipend after they're done.
They have to.
So you will shut up.
While
the show is airing, so you don't let any secrets out.
Some of them, like, have real jobs. Like, they'll say, you know, this person is an accountant from so and so, or a lawyer from so. Well, where are the bosses that are saying, you want to go on a TV show for 3 months? Have fun.
I'll tell you what I think is the funniest jump out of all of these people that have tried to make a career out of it is the girl from Survivor, Elizabeth, the one who's married to the Hasselbeck guy, the quarterback.
From The View.
Right. Now, not only did she work the fact that she was in Survivor onto The View and that she's married to the guy at the NFL level, he's the quarterback with the Redskins, she will be speaking in prime time at the Republican National Convention.
Wow.
Now, they're glossing this over by giving her a
topic. Makes our Ben Affleck look a little better, doesn't
she it? She is going to be speaking about breast cancer and breast cancer awareness.
Right.
Because her mom was a sufferer of this. But still, you got to look at yourself and go, wait, hold on a second. Of all those broads on The View, you know, I'd rather see... And listen, the more I watch The View, the more I know that
you'd rather see the bag.
The day that I said that Joy Behar is a bag, that is the perfect example of a woman who's a bag.
That is why much hilarity ensued after you mentioned that, because we all realized that was the finest example you could have found for us. It came completely off your head, but it was Joy
the
Behar.
Bag.
Yeah. The bag.
We
the
applied
bag.
Ourselves. We couldn't come up with anyone
I believe
here.
At the time your quote was, that bag, Joy Behar.
But look at Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She came from Survivor.
Right.
She got on The View, and now...
Isn't she from the original Survivor?
First season, or second season. Either way... She's speaking at the Republican National Convention in prime time.
Unless they vote her off.
But that's the way celebrity works in this country.
Right. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Or just hang up.
That was just plain rude.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, fellas.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hey, I'll preface this with just to let you know, this is Bob. I'm from the land of dumbass, and my mother is a whore, and she lives in Whoreville. What I was going to talk to you about is...
Can't do that. Yeah. You can't...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's acknowledging the fact that he's going to do something to slow the show down.
Mm-hmm.
He acknowledges that by saying what he said at the beginning, and then, of course, we'll enjoy that part of it, but we won't let him have his say.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. I think, you know, we almost have like a Minority Report thing going on there where you could actually look into the future and see who it was going to...
We saw the murder before it was committed.
That's right. The little red ball came down.
Yeah.
That guy's name.
Yeah, and we're all sitting there, you know, with like electrodes attached to us in a shallow pool of water.
All three of us.
Yes.
Wearing those very asexual outfits they had on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, about Minority Report, you know the guy that was down there with Agatha and the other ones?
Right.
Was he... like getting friendly with them, or did he just treat them attentively?
I think he just treated them attentively. I got the impression that he was gay from the way he conducted himself.
I got the feeling in the movie Minority Report that perhaps on occasion he had helped himself.
Really?
To sex with, what do they call those? The those three...
The telepaths?
Yeah, but they had a nickname.
They had something. They had a nickname for them.
They were like the iPods or something.
Right.
I don't remember what the iPods.
And there's another movie coming out.
That has...
With Tim Robbins.
The Agatha iPod in it. Yeah.
And she is...
She's got the same short buzz haircut, right?
And it looks like a similar kind of movie.
Yeah.
In fact, weirdly similar.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Speak.
All right, here we go. Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing very well, thanks.
Yes, this is Teresa.
Teresa Hines?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
You're killing us, guys. You're killing us. We hate using the delay. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hey, I think you guys are sitting on a gold mine there with the
BA and the Intern. That sounds like a perfect name for a TV show. But
boy, it does. Kind of like BJ and the Bear.
BA and the Intern.
BA and the Intern. You come out with a narrator, you know?
A long time ago in a radio station in the big city, there was a woman named Beth Ann McBride. B.A., as she was fondly called by her co-workers.
And a hunky intern, kind of slow, but very cute, named James.
Welcome to B.A. and the Intern.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
Welcome, Beth Ann and James.
Send a picture of them, like, you know, playing on the beach.
Oh, no, I like them driving in a big rig. Like on BJ and the Bear. Talking on a CB radio.
You might find that you have a little better memory of BJ and the Bear than I do.
I gotta be honest. Yeah. My memory on that is limited, and that title, that theme song, doesn't do it for me.
It was it's what spawned the character of Sheriff Lobo.
It's catchy.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I was just calling to comment on, you was talking about Madden yesterday, and I just wanted to let you know, because you asked how high did it go. Don asked how high did EA Sports Bio win.
Yeah, the levels.
Yeah, it goes up to 159.
Oh, my God. So here I am almost at level 14, and you're telling me that that's, in the big scheme of things, nothing.
You were
pretty
excited
much
about being on level 14.
I'm not there yet. I'm almost
shame
there.
Shame on
headed for level 42.
What is your level?
I'm on level 30.
Level okay. 30.
Show
yeah
off. How many days do you have played on Madden?
40 days.
40 days.
Wow.
What's your favorite team to play with?
New York Giants.
Hey, there you go.
See, I got the best. Anybody that plays Madden, the 75 Rams, if you run that offense correctly, I'm telling you, they kick ass. They absolutely kick ass.
I have a question for this guy. What happens to you when you see sunlight?
I see sunlight through my window, so.
Oh, that's
lucky. Okay.
Thank you for the comedy response.
Bye-bye. See you at level 30. Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, look, my right arm has turned to ash.
Was he level 40?
I don't know. Was that
30.
Level
30. 30?
Level 30.
Level or IQ?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
I'm calling from Rochester. I just started listening to you guys. I think you're great.
Thanks.
Pretty funny.
Thanks.
And I got two things I want to ask you.
Yeah.
One, whenever you talk about your son and you give his age, you always say 19 and a half. Why do you do that?
Because he's almost 20, and in 6 months he will be 20. Well, what's it to you?
Well, I don't know. It just kind of sounds funny.
Well, 19 and a half, you always say happy years, and especially when kids are little. Seven and a half. And
like, for instance, I would say about this phone call, I enjoyed the first half when you called to say that you liked the show. I didn't like the second half
right
when you called just to bust my balls about when I mentioned the age of my kid. But anyway.
No, I'm not. Hello?
Yes, what
I'm not trying to bust.
I know you're not. You're just
well, the half thing. What is the problem? You've never heard people say 7.5, 8.5, 19
well, yeah,
and a half.
That's the point.
And I believe if you counted the number of times today I said he's 19.
Mm-hmm. I heard that, but early I've been trying to call prior to that.
Oh, well, listen, just eat one and pound sand. What else? What other fabulous observation do you have?
I was just curious. Being a Red Sox fan, how long do we take these stupid maneuvers that they make, and they getting rid of Nomar for nobody? I mean, how long do we got
to
take it?
You know, I don't like to talk baseball, but it's delightful that now on both points you've succeeded in alienating the hosts of the program, because I think Nomar, if you read what I've read about Nomar Garcia Parra, he wasn't happy there.
Right.
And with the guy, you know, he had a heel injury. And when the general manager came to him, the president of the Red Sox, Larry Lucchino, came to him and said, "Hey, how's the heel?" He said, "It's fine now."
Right.
Does that sound like a guy that wanted to be in the clubhouse? I think it was a good move.
Listen, generally speaking, hold on just a second. Okay. We want to take some entertaining calls. Generally speaking, I'm glad you're listening. I don't think you should ever call again. I'm not.
I got one more thing.
I'm not.
No,
gonna,
you don't. No,
I'm not going to put you in the book.
This is what I would say for
Nomar. Shut up.
I just want to ask you a question.
Are you retarded? Rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
Okay.
We'll give you the last. We'll give you the last word. Hold it.
All right. Hold on.
Sir.
Here's your chance.
We will give you the last word, but let us talk, okay? You can go. All right. Go ahead.
Now,
your
go
turn.
Ahead.
I would have hired.
Okay, there you go. Right. That was a particularly good one.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
When those are done that well, I laugh through two more calls.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, when are you guys going to play the Where You Calling From game?
Where You Calling From game?
How about we play the Where You Calling From game?
Hello, John and Mike.
You go hide, we'll come find you.
Hello.
Buddy.
Hey, you're on the air.
What's up?
Hi.
You want to play the Where You Calling From game? Come on, hi, go.
Guys, I was at Walmart the other night, and I saw something for Don. I saw the EA Sports Madden. It's a pad you hook into your TV, and you can play the game yourself instead of with the control.
Hey, where are you calling from? Seriously, where's he calling from?
I just hung up on.
Well, where's the next guy calling from?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
Hey, Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Don and Mike.
Where are you?
Where
are you calling from?
Me? Baltimore.
You lose! That was a fun game.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello. I'm trying.
I know you are.
Hello, Don and Mike. I just keep pressing the buttons. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Phone scan, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey. I apologize in advance if you covered this already, but Don, you had this great idea for a reality show, Who Wants to Be a DJ?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that there's a local radio station, has stolen your idea?
There's a lot of stations that have, but here's the thing. The stations that have taken that idea, the idea was Radio Star, and it was nothing original, it was a rip-off of American Idol. There are four or five stations across America who have done it, who have actually given regular people
a contract,
jobs, wow. and put them on the air, and that's a great contest.
Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from basement of the science building.
No, I mean, where are you calling from?
No, seriously, Washington. It's a local station here in Washington.
You lose! I love playing that game.
Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scan.
I have some news for Buzz and Mike.
Yes.
All right.
2 days ago here in Wichita, Kansas, a minivan ran into the back of another car, and the two guys got out and got in a fist fight.
All right.
Started with a minivan.
All right. Fantastic. You calling from Wichita?
Yep.
You lose.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, where you calling from?
That is a classic joke.
We're not playing the Where You Calling From game. No matter how much Mike wants to play it tonight.
I'm kind of playing it over here by myself.
Hello.
They're called precogs from the movie Minority.
Precogs.
That's a contribution.
Not iPods, precogs.
Precog,
right.
That's right. Three of them. Two boys, one girl.
That is a good call.
How about for the grossest moment in Minority Report?
Greenhouse?
Yeah. When Tom Cruise is looking for the cure to whatever the poison lady has given him. And then she leans over and takes his hand in his face in her hands and really lays one on him.
Yeah, gives him a real kiss.
And she's like Jessica Tandy looking.
Yeah. That is the grossest.
Jessica Tandy as she is today.
Now she's on a soap opera. We saw her on a soap opera, remember?
Oh, we did.
Didn't she on One Life to Live?
She had a bit part on One Life to Live. Mike and I both identified her. Hey, that's the old lady that made out with Tom Cruise in Minority Report.
That's right. Wow. Absolutely.
And I gotta wonder how bad that new Tom Cruise movie is, only because I can't think of a TV show that I've not seen him on.
Do you think he's really great?
Oh, no. I heard him mention that he wore a wig.
Oh, really?
He got his hair partly dyed, and then he wore a wig for that gig.
He credits Scientology.
Wore a wig for that gig.
He credits Scientology for keeping his hair brown. But it didn't work for Vince.
How old is Tom Cruise now?
68.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don, you're the man, dude.
Thanks. Don't I know it. What can we do for you?
Hey, I swung by the local Safeway, got some vanilla vodka, a little bit of cran grape, and all I can say is yummy.
I'm telling you, that's beautiful. I could go for one of those right now. We're having a party upstairs.
Where are you calling from? You hang up on him already.
Yes, I already did.
Yeah, you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm ruining your game, aren't I? Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Don and Mike, don't answer that question. Hello. Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Okay, where are you calling from? Where are you calling from? Mike wants
to know. Some of these listeners simply too challenged to actually answer that question. Mike, sir, what is so difficult about answering the question, where are you calling from?
Because I don't know who you're talking to.
We said hello to you, and you said hello.
Oh, okay.
So that would be you.
I'm calling from Northern California.
Winner! Winner!
Finally.
Hey, I just wanted to say something. Did you guys notice that B.A. in that last segment, she sounded exactly like Mrs. G.?
She sounded like who?
Like your wife, like Frida.
You know, like, Frida, get out of here, you know. Mrs. It's funny, though, calling my wife Mrs.
That's
G.
A new one.
Mrs. G. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
Mike.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing today?
We're doing very well. Last caller. Last caller on the phone scan.
I'm great. Guess what?
What?
Boston sucks. Let's go Yankees.
All right, I still got to give this guy a prize, Mike.
Oh.
Hey.
May I ask what town you're calling from?
Oh, he hung up.
Hung up.
So unlike
the prizes
it.
Were going to be great, Yankee fan.
So unlike
you
it, Yankee.
Blew it.
Yankee.
Just wait until you hear the prize, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike show.
All right.
Not
you never miss a jump squat.
Now that is deserving of a prize right there.
Not that, well, you know, listen, you be the judge of this. What's your name, my friend?
Dean.
Dean, where are you from?
Baltimore.
On Live 105, you're the last person on the phone scan.
Dean King.
Win them before you can buy them. Or Dean King. Hello?
But I, your biggest fan.
Win them before you can buy them. Two tickets for the Allman Brothers Band and Little Feet.
Ooh.
Thursday, September 30th, Nissan Pavilion. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. Ticketmaster, NissanPavilion.com. Enjoy, and thank you for listening to the show.
Thanks, guys.
You got it.
The Allman Brothers and the Little Feet.
That's it.
Together on one stage. Hardly ever happens.
Color me there.
Hi, this is Surf.
Oh, shut up. We'll be right back. And it's time to give away, I hope, $1,400.
I feel good about it today, Don.
Wow. The secret sound, a common everyday sound. We've been playing this game now almost 3 weeks, adding $100 every day.
I feel really good about it today.
And if we don't get a winner today, I'll give you the absolute drop dead, you'll get it tomorrow clue.
How are you feeling about today's chances?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I do too.
Pretty good. $1,400 on the line. Secret sound 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
Forget it. I'm halfway home. The Don and Mike Show.
Joe.
Forget it.
Joe.
I'm halfway home. Where's my mom on the show? Happy birthday, Tracy, baby. I love you, Tracy. I love you, baby.
What is it you wrote for him? He's the...
Legendary.
The legendary. The legendary Joe Ardinger.
How y'all doing today?
The
weekend's not here yet.
You can't have a beer yet.
No, not allowed. Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Trying to think of a day of the week that rhymes with farms. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No, none rhyme with farms.
Open up your arms and give me some farms.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Here we go with the secret sound. Hello.
Hello. I must be caller 100.
Yes, you are. Hey, thank you for cluing in on that. What's your name?
My name is Jim. I'm calling from Oakland, California. Let's get on the trainable 1550.
Beautiful.
Sounds like a smart guy here.
This guy's put it all together now. He called the station retarded, which it is, KYCY in San Francisco.
You got a smart one here.
For being caller 100, you want a sleeve of Don and Mike Pro V1 golf balls, courtesy of Golfdom. Golfdom's Tyson's Corner. Live the game. We thank them for that. That's a nice prize.
That is a great prize.
You'll play for $1,400 if you can identify this common everyday sound. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Rob, get the happy music just in case.
Yeah.
I know you don't like winners, but we might have a winner here.
I think he may win.
Your clues are hygiene,
mm-hmm.
personal hygiene, Bob the intern, alcohol. Forget the clue about alcohol.
Right.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Here we go. Good luck.
Caller. Name this sound.
There it is. There's the sound. Now, this has been over a two-week quest with this sound. I'll play it for you one more time. There it is. Now, hold off with that answer.
You're having my baby.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah. It's for a little party upstairs at the station.
Some video. Some video. Turning Japanese. For $1,400, what's the sound?
Is it removing the top off a can of deodorant?
Is it removing the top from a can? You know what? He's right. No.
Oh!
Oh, we're sorry.
No, no. I'm not going to play the happy music, Rob. You're so close.
That's today's clue.
Yeah, that's today's
clue. Yeah, you know, we say every guess is a clue for you.
It really is.
Yeah. Notice how I get quiet during this segment. I'm not saying anything.
It's because now you know the answer.
But yeah, but I also, but it's still, because I know the answer, I don't want to get in your way, both of you.
But you know the answer.
This is your thing, and I really think when we do this segment, I can really screw up and make both of you guys really mad at me.
But Mike, you know the answer.
Right.
So you know that this guy, we'd love to, you know, forget we. Take Rob out.
Well, I'm not saying anything.
I'd love to give the guy the prize, but, you know, come on.
And I tried it both ways, and I was convinced it was what I thought. Mm. Ah!
No.
It's killing me. And I thought I had it as of a week ago Tuesday.
Negative.
Wow.
Good for you. Good for you. What did you say? It's a great story. Rob.
Shut up.
God.
Listen, you're so
such a smart guy.
Thank you for listening. Tomorrow it'll be worth $1,500.
And the person who wins tomorrow can thank me now for setting it up for him.
Hold on.
Good guy. You
should know something. There is a very good chance. I don't do the contest at the same time every day.
Sure.
There's a good chance that tomorrow someone will screw the poop.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the odds are not that we're going to get a winner tomorrow.
I would say you're maybe 50-50.
Uh-huh. History is dictated. Sometimes the stupidest answers come late in the game.
Absolutely.
We should have a winner by next Thursday.
I don't count on it. But anyway, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And good day to you, sir. I said good day. Is Tim on the phone?
Yes, he is.
Tim's on the phone? Okay, well then, here we go. Here we go.
Sound of NASCAR.
You know, we're Northerners, and we're late to the party. And I do love me the NASCAR. And I do love it enough to ask questions about, like, the race of the Poconos that I watched this past weekend. Joining us now inside NASCAR, Tim Pakman from DaleEarnhardtIncorporated.com. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Hey, it's going great. Thanks for joining us. First, DaleEarnhardtIncorporated.com. Is this a way to sell is it a memorabilia site? Can you get Dale Jr. stuff?
It's the information news site for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated.
Gotcha. Oh, and Tim, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to please say hi to Miss Pakman for me.
Which one?
His name is Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And if you have a kid, of course, be right. Pac-Man Jr.
And the dog's Pac-Dog.
Rob is hearing all the details on this show.
Do we have Pac-Man fever anywhere?
I think we do.
You go find it.
Tim Pac-Man. What is the website all about, as Don was asking? What's it all about?
Basically, it's like a news source website for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. We have our race reports every Monday, and we have... like in the past, what happened in the past, and Pit Performer of the Week, and upcoming events. We do previews and just different things that are happening around the company. If an event's taking place, and also we have a subscription service. It's called for DEI Insiders, and it's a paid subscription, and they get like photo galleries and in-depth reports.
Now, I do know enough.
Live chats and that.
So. I do know enough about NASCAR to know the DEI. You have a stable of drivers.
Correct.
That drive for you. So it's not just Dale Jr., it's other guys on his team. So keeping in mind that I'm one of these guys that just got into NASCAR.
And in honor of our guest, Tim Pakman,
here is now Pakman Fever.
Tim, you got to be thrilled.
It's Buckner and Garcia.
Very good.
Pakman Fever. A lot of money, but I'm bringing. Why is it that we have a copy of Pac-Man Fever here?
Because we're idiots.
We don't have a microphone that works, but we have Pac-Man Fever.
We had an interview a long time ago with neither Buckner nor Garcia, but something about the video game.
You were a champ.
So anyway, listen, if you will bear with me, a couple of... hold on.
I'll tell you, he's bearing with us right now.
A couple of questions.
Yeah, you can say that.
A couple of questions about the race last weekend in particular.
Okay.
First off... I'm a fan of NASCAR. I like Dale Jr. I like all the guys that you have in your stable. I like the 20 car. I like Tony Stewart. But I've noticed that Tony Stewart has a certain way of driving. A lot of times, even like I was watching a race a couple of weeks ago, there's like 50 laps left, and he's got the best car out there. And if he's just slow and steady, he's going to pass the field in 4, 5, 6 laps. But instead, he just comes up and bumps a couple guys from behind and spins them out, and it's like a 14-car wreck. Meanwhile, who's out in front of it all? Tony Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and I know that Dale Jr. has had some problems with Tony Stewart. So my question for you is, because I don't know as much about NASCAR as I'd like to, when you got a situation like that, and they're interviewing the guys in the pits afterwards, you know, and Dale Jr. says something like, I can't believe what a jerk face that guy is.
Right.
NASCAR should do something to him. And then Tony Stewart says, hey, I'm just out there. I'm just bumping into guys. Really, Tim, what happens afterwards? I mean, I know that occasionally these guys will actually fight each other, but like when something like that happens, how long is Dale Jr. mad at Tony Stewart, and does it ever let up? I mean, is he still mad at him today?
No, because first of all, I'm just going to use those two guys. Tony and Dale Jr. are friends.
What?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Tim? It was not on.
Tim? Thank God we got this. Because we just lost the Pac-Man guy on the telephone.
Yeah, apparently one of the ghosts got him. No. Pac-Man's getting him back on the phone.
Oh, yeah. And this song, of course, is dedicated to our guest, the host of the web, or one of the guys with the website, Tim Pac-Man.
And the ghosts, of course, were the yellow things that you got when you ate blue.
Right.
When you ate the blue things.
Power pills.
Have I mentioned that I was the Ms. Pac-Man champion of Southern California?
I don't believe you
have. Recently. I didn't know that.
I won that award in 1981 out in Southern California.
You've never mentioned it.
I've never mentioned it. Hard to believe. Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened there.
That's all right.
All right,
Tim. Magic of Nextel.
Okay, so, hey, listen, watch it. They're your sponsor, dude.
I know. That's the phone I got.
So you were talking about Tony Stewart and Dale actually being friends. They're not. Is there any animosity between those guys after what's going on?
No, because Tony's actually going to be driving a Busch car for us later this year, and those two are very, very good friends. What happens when you got these guys is you got 43 guys or more that travel around week to week, and you can't stay mad for too long because otherwise it's going to affect you going into the next race. Most guys are over by Monday or Tuesday.
Has it increased on the circuit? Because I seem to see more and more of it. Do you think it's gotten better or worse over the years?
It's actually decreased over the years.
Okay.
Back to the old days, these guys were whooping each other's butts left and right in the pits and all that. But there's more media now that call more attention to it. It seems to magnify everything.
All right, now as someone, like I said, I've only been into NASCAR a couple of years. I'll tell you one thing I don't like. I don't like watching a race and having it get down to the last 4 or 5 laps, and then you've got the caution. Where you're not racing to the end.
Right.
You know, I get the feeling.
I don't like that either.
Clean the crap off the racing surface and let these guys go, you know, just balls them out 5 laps. Wouldn't most of the drivers prefer a system like that?
Well, they did. They just came up with a new green-white checkered rule. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to give them one chance to have say there's like 3 laps left, and all of a sudden the caution comes out. They say, okay, we're going to run the extra laps. We're going to give you one chance. We're going to throw the green flag. Next time around, you get the white flag, and the next time by, you get the checkered flag. So basically, you get 2 laps to try to finish it out. The guys don't like it because then everyone's going to go animal. The fans love it because they're getting their money's worth and they're getting a great finish.
Now, when does this start?
It already started.
Oh, it's okay.
Two weeks ago.
I would imagine that's going to be incredibly exciting for the fans.
Oh, yeah.
Then let me ask you about another guy who maybe Dale's not feuding with. I'm sure he's not. Jeff Gordon, I was watching a race, and between those two guys, it was nip and tuck. It was Dale Jr., then it was Jeff Gordon. Anyway, whatever happens, Jeff Gordon wins. All the fans start throwing garbage out on the racetrack because they're mad that Dale Jr. lost and Jeff Gordon won.
Right.
Now
they were mad because they didn't get to see a green flag finish. They rolled around for 5 laps under caution.
No, you're right. No,
a great race, and they got robbed of a good ending.
No, you're right that had a lot to do with it. There wasn't a green flag. But there was right. there was also some of that, you know, we love Dale and why is Jeff winning?
Sure. So you got to love a guy, I mean, because he's so tough. How's he doing now? I mean, everybody knows about the crash and the fire and getting burned and then coming out and racing right after that.
He's been taking it easy, resting and getting ready for Indy this weekend. And every day gets a little bit better. And every day is, you know, one step closer to his goal of, you know, completing the whole race.
Now, Indy, the favorite in Indy is Jeff Gordon, right?
And Kevin Harvick and Tony Stewart.
And, okay, so with those guys, with their experience, what are you doing to get Dale Jr. ready for this? And this to me, is the most fascinating race, because out of all the racetracks, the Indianapolis 500, not built for NASCAR, built
no.
For Indy cars.
For those other cars. And it's just like, it's 100, you know, more than 100 miles, 200 miles an hour, quick, make a left-hand turn. 200 miles an hour, quick, left-hand turn. 200 miles, it's an impossible course.
It's more of a straightaway course, right?
It's like a quad, 9 degrees of banking in the turns, and there's like little mini straightaways between turns 1 and 2.
What exactly, now, as somebody who doesn't know a lot about racing, how will that affect the cars? What should we look for in that race?
Actually, for that one, you gotta be careful when you go, you want enough speed to go into turn 1, that you don't slow down so much going into turn 2 that you're going to go really slow going down the back straightaway. What it is just throttling the gas enough to get through the turn, then shoot for the turn 2, but not slow down so much that, you know what I mean? Like, you want your momentum to carry you out of turn 2 so you're not taking all of the back straightaway to get back up to speed again. Because once you start doing that, you mess yourself up throughout the thing. So it's just catching a rhythm.
And how many wrecks really happen, not because guys are trying, but just because, like, I mean, I understand now when they're talking about a car being loose or a car being tight. I can see in the replays when a guy's on a banked curve and just, like, the smallest thing happens. He barely touches somebody, but because of the air currents underneath, these guys, now, the wrecks seem to be bigger and more spectacular than ever, which, you know, come on, it's part of the reason that I watch this, but are guys more concerned now that you could get in an awful wreck with some guy who really doesn't mean you any harm at all. The guy's out there just trying to control his freaking car, and if he just taps you like that, a guy goes into the wall.
Yeah, that's just the way it's set up now, is the aerodynamic, the technology, that the slightest little bump or the slightest little loose or tight, like you said, and all of a sudden the back end can go away, and all of a sudden or the tire could go down real quick, and that pulls you up into the wall, and you take out, you know, 6 guys with you, and everyone's racing so much closer together that, and they're faster than they were before, that the reaction time is not as good as it used to be before, because there's so much speed carrying into the wreck that, you know, the joke used to be, or the advice used to be, I should say, you know, if you see a wreck, aim right for the middle of it, 'cause by the time you get there, it'll be gone, but that's not always true.
After the death of Dale Sr., has that resulted in any more safety modifications for the drivers?
Yeah, they've the Hans device and the Hutchins devices, those are being used. New seats, the way the drivers sit in their seats, their headrests around the seats, the safer barriers going around all the tracks.
Right.
And NASCAR right now is what they're building, the car of the future, which will, it's a bulkier, bigger car that'll cause them to be, racing will still be there, but it'll be slower.
Do those dudes get to listen to any music when they're driving? I know they have to be talking to the crew, but I'm just wondering. You know,
you want to hear every single sound in your car. You want to know exactly what it's doing all the time.
I understand, but I was just thinking, you know, maybe if you're out there, you know, you got a lead, you know, you go, what the hell? You
kick on the stereo, pop in a CD.
It's so funny. You might put some, and let's say you're doing really great. Dale Jr.'s at the Indianapolis, he does great. Who's to say that all of a sudden you don't get on the radio and say, hey, Dale, you're about 10 laps up. Enjoy.
This
Pac-Man fever.
This Tim Pac-Man. I'm going to put this on for you.
I would piss him off royally.
Yeah.
All right, so who are you picking this weekend? You got a bunch of drivers.
Yeah.
Of your drivers, who do you pick this weekend in NASCAR?
My drivers, Michael's been really, really good lately on the track like that, so, you know, minus motor problems last week, so I'd like to see him do very, very well. And Dale Jr., you know, he's saying he's fit and everything, so we'll see what he can do. But if I had to pick outside of us, I would look at the Everham cars. They've been really strong there. That's Jeremy Mayfield and Casey Kane. And also Kevin Harvick hasn't finished 11th. Worse than 11th, and every time he's raced, that's been like 4 or 5 times. So that's another guy to look at.
And last thing I have to ask.
He was winner last year.
Last thing I have to ask. You mentioned Michael. I know it's Michael Waltrip. Now, I watched him in a wreck 2 or 3 weeks ago, an awful wreck that fortunately he got right out of. I noticed, though, that when he took his helmet off, he was doing a thing with his hair.
Oh, he's got a head of hair, don't he?
Yeah, he does. Now, here's my question. Is that a comb over? Is he high?
Man,
because now in the commercials,
no.
it doesn't look like a comb over. But I'm telling you, this guy got out of the car without.
Did he have bedhead?
Yeah, he got out and he took the helmet off and right. went to a close shot of him. And his only concern was, I got to get this hair pushed down.
Yeah. Right.
So nobody. So you tell me, Michael Waltrip does not have a comb over. It's just just a lot of hair.
At 41, that's all his, and it's what you call helmet hair when you get out of the...
Helmet hair.
All right.
Absolutely.
God, listen, thank you for your time, Tim Pac-Man.
We enjoyed it, guys. Tim. You were a font of information. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
See you later, dude. That's from Dale Earnhardt Incorporated.com.
You know what's great about a guy like that is he knew everything. I mean, every dumb question we asked him, he had the answer to. So I like that because, you know, I know you're more into it than I am, but I'm still kind of curious about it. But I really know so little about it that I wanted to get some information from the guy.
And I'd love to get one of the guys in his stable or any of those stables.
I'd like to get the aforementioned Michael Waltrip. I think he would be a blast to have on the air.
Can I tell you who I really think that guy reminds me of? I swear to God, Jethro.
Michael Waltrip.
When I see him in his commercials, when I see him being interviewed after the race,
right?
He is so Jethro. It's like
yeah, but he's better looking than his brother.
It's like Granny, Granny,
Granny, Cement Pond,
Granny. I won the race. We're gonna run a hell of a race, Granny. Okay, time out. Rob, you got the CD from the senator?
Yes, I do.
Earlier this week, we were just going through some of our junk mail, and
yes.
It turns out we got a letter from he's a state senator, right?
Right, from the, what would you call that, the General Assembly of North Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the singing senator.
The state senate of North Carolina.
Exactly. His CD sucks. It's the same tune, the
over
same music,
and over again.
The same 40-second musical bridge.
Uh-huh. Maybe we can ask him why he chose not to change melodies.
Yes. Done to, I don't know, 20 different cuts. Anyway, we booked him as a guest, and this guy from the North Carolina General Assembly Senate Chamber.
Have to find out why has he done this.
Yes, we'll join.
Why?
And you know who I'm voting for president, but I'm just going to say that I'm pretty sure this is a Democrat.
You think it's a Democrat?
I'm pretty sure.
We can find out as soon as we get him on the show.
You want to bet?
I'm going to say Republican.
You think so, Buzzy? What do you think?
I'm going to say Republican also.
I'll say Democrat because he's very deep south.
Well, the singing senator
is
kind of a ripoff of the singing senators, Trent Lott and John Ashcroft, when they were in the Senate together with a couple of other guys. So I think he's a Republican. Yeah.
We'll find out when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I have not been notified yet about this investigation. Mr. Speaker, and he just left this floor, and I asked him to stay. He has handled this situation as a disgrace.
What?
As a disgrace.
The Don and Mike Show. Oh, good. Heavens, no. The Don and Mike Show.
Good heavens, no.
Ah, here you go. Las Vegas. KSFM.
Love is like candy on.
How about Portland, Maine? WZAS. All right. They would be a 10-year affiliate.
Things are there for you.
WANR Warren, Ohio. I think I may have read that one yesterday. How about KVOL in Lafayette, Louisiana? Some of the stations bringing you the show today. Now we got this letter from the singing senator, Charlie Albertson. Here's the deal. Guy's an elected official. North Carolina General Assembly sends the following letter. Dear Don and Mike, big fan of the show. Listen when I'm in Washington, etc., etc. Enclosed, please find my latest CD with the news. I recorded and wrote these songs a couple of months ago in Nashville. Thought you might enjoy them enough to play them on your show.
Well, we did.
Yes.
And before we call him, let's just give you a brief recap. This is what every single cut sounds like. I know it sounds like what you're cooking for dinner, Granny.
Yeah. Now there's budget work to do.
Uh-huh.
Passing bills, making laws that affect me and you.
Guy's elected official.
Why don't you play the next one?
Process.
Oh, I'd be glad to, Mike.
Play the next cut.
I'd be glad to because it's a song with a totally different topic, a totally different theme line.
Yeah.
I mean, now the music sounds the same.
We've got an election going on and it's already me.
Okay, let's
see. How about maybe another one will sound different?
Okay, hold on. Again, it's the familiar beginning, but I'm
all
sure.
Sam is a friend to all. He's made it to the top.
top.
Now, you know what? Try the next one.
Okay. The next one's got to be a slight variant. No, it's exactly the same.
I don't know if a cell phone is a blessing or a curse.
Okay, obviously. Right. Obviously, there are 14 different cuts.
All with the same melody.
Wow. Let's hear one
that
all the way through.
That is the burning question that we need to ask the senator.
Let's hear one all the way through. Hold on, let me see what the
title is. To be fair, it's bound to be a good one.
What are the titles?
Titles are Back in Session.
Mm-hmm. Boring.
Bush and Kerry.
Boring.
Carl Lamb.
What's that?
I have no idea. Cell phone.
Oh, I bet that's funny.
Dentist. Doctor visit. Gas. You're probably not talking about our kind of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Landfills. Litter. Marriage. Martha Stewart. Preacher and drunk. Oh, I think we might have to go with that one. Preacher. Let me make sure that's not a typo.
Did we get through all 14 cuts?
Preacher and drunk.
And double check, make sure the melodies were all the same?
Yes, we did. Preacher's Joe. Sweet Romance and Wife's Doctor. How about Preacher and Drunk?
Preacher and Drunk sounds good. I would think Martha Stewart might have something in it.
I think we heard a little bit at the beginning of that one the other day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That sucked.
Bathing that in her. This is Preacher and Drunk.
The preacher told the drunkard, you need to lose the wine. I'll help you find Jesus while there's still time.
Maybe we'll hear the Martha Stewart one, just to hear one all the way through. Although now I've lost my place. I'm not sure which one.
Martha Stewart's been convicted. Now her case is on appeal.
Right.
Jury said she's guilty on this Enthrone deal. They didn't believe the story, and she never took the stand. She'll have time to think about it when that jail door slams. But I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months. I don't reckon that'll happen again.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, hold on, please.
Months and months.
There you go. There it is. Is this right. Senator Charles W. Albertson?
You got it right.
There he is.
Senator, hi. This is the
singing senator.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Thank you for the kind note you sent us.
Well, great. It's great to be with you guys.
The senator is from the North Carolina General Assembly.
How long have you served in the state senate of North Carolina?
I'm on my 12th year in the Senate.
Wow. 12th year.
Now, are you a Republican or a Democrat?
I'm a Democrat. I guess people would call me conservative Democrat.
Conservative Democrat. Now, let me ask you, the last time that you ran for office,
yes.
Were you known as the singing senator back then?
Yes, I was.
And you still won.
Yep. Still won.
Yes, you still won, and you actually used your singing as part of your senatorial campaign.
Yes, I did. Of course, I've been singing for a long time all across the district in North Carolina, other places as well, but... And that's how I've been introduced to a lot of people, really, is through my music.
Uh-huh. Now, sir, we must ask, we've heard all of the songs. They're all great songs, but they're all...
The same.
The same. They're all
it
the
was
same.
The same melody. That's
42nd musical bridge on all of them.
And that was our burning question here.
Well, that's a way of doing it and save money.
Yeah.
Save money.
Fiscally conservative. Now, you mentioned that you recorded these songs, Senator.
Oh, Mike, hold on. We have breaking political news. Hold on, please, Senator.
Right. Okay.
Joining us now is former Don and Mike Show intern, Joe Rockhead.
Wow. Joe Rockhead.
With very big news, because he's now a political commentator on television.
Okay.
Hey, Rockhead.
Hey, good evening, buddy.
Now, is this an indubitably true fact? Will you or will you not be on the nightly news with Tom Brokaw?
Strange but true.
Wow. Are you going to be interviewed?
Yeah, they invited me to come on in.
Oh my God!
Remember, we laughed a couple weeks ago or months ago. We saw Joe Rockhead on CNN,
and now he's made it to the broadcast networks.
Oh, where'd you guys see me on CNN?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever it was you were discussing, we had some tape of you.
Now, what is your area, Matt, of expertise? What do they call you in for?
Pretty much anything that has to do with media. Today,
okay.
I was talking about
This Bruce Springsteen thing that's going to be popping up all across the country in October.
All right, with Bruce Springsteen doing concerts for Carrie?
Yeah.
Right.
It's nuts.
So you're going to be on the NBC Nightly News tonight. Matthew Tate Fellow, also known as Joe Rockhead. Remember, not the dumbest intern we ever had.
But very close.
But he had the name Rockhead. And
because he was a Rockhead.
And you will remember the great defining moment was it was snowing outside.
No? Different guy.
Oh, that's a different guy?
That was Mike E. Rockhead.
Different Rockhead. Mike E. Rockhead.
What's this Rockhead's defining moment?
He was just Rockhead. Just
he was Rockhead? Just Rockhead, and he would come into the studio and drop the ball every time he came in.
And he said indubitably all
right,
the time.
Indubitably.
And damn it, I want to know why the women around the station didn't hit on me like they were hitting on James the intern.
Yeah, you want to know the answer to that question.
Check up here.
Yeah, take that mirror.
Check up here.
That could be the reason.
All right, well, listen, Rockhead, we'll watch you tonight on Tom Brokaw. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny to give him a plug that he's going to be on Tom Brokaw.
Hey, Rockhead, since you're a media expert, how do you feel about singing politicians?
Yes, very good. We've got the singing senator on the line.
Oh, let the eagle soar, my man.
Oh, God.
Tell me something, Rockhead. You ever heard of a guy named, and he's on the line here, so be polite, Senator Charlie W. Albertson from the North Carolina General Assembly?
He has not hit my radar screen yet.
Well, we haven't even gotten into the area whether he's got further aspirations in his political career.
Maybe he'll jump on board to this whole Bruce Springsteen thing.
Yeah, you never know.
All right, okay.
And that's what he used to do, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
He would stop the show with that humor.
Indubitably.
A screeching halt.
Yes,
indubitably. All right, Matthew, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the plug.
Matthew.
Our intern. God, and I mean, really, with that guy with Rockhead.
Are you retarded?
He is.
It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
He is. He'll
be on the news tonight.
And now he's going to be on the NBC Nightly
right
tonight. Excuse us, Senator. We had one of our former dumb interns who's got a big job right now.
Enjoyed it.
So, thank you.
All right, so back to you, Senator. Now, we answered the question about the melody, that he said it was a monetary issue because he couldn't afford to put new melodies.
And I had a question. Of the 15 different cuts on your CD,
yes,
which do you consider to be the finest, the hallmark?
I sort of like the one about Bush and Kerry, and the one, I guess that might be my favorite, and then the one about going to the dentist, the doctor.
Well, now, pick one. If you had to pick one to turn people on to your music, Senator, which cut would it be?
I think it would be the one about Bush and Kerry.
Well, all right, well, then let's...
All right, here we go. Very timely. Now. All right, to the same melody of the other 14.
And so as to give our listeners a real radio feel, we'll play a jingle into it.
Would you like to hear that, Senator? We'll play one of our jingles into it.
That'll be great.
An up-tempo jingle. Here we go.
The Don and Mike Show. WKK.
The wrong song. Give me another shot at this. And now the most requested song.
We've got an election going on and it's already mean. Bush this, Kerry that, beats all I've heard and seen. It's a long time till November, and as far as I can see, no matter who wins, we'll wind up with an SOME. But I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months. I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months.
You know, I'll tell you what I do like about these songs.
What is that?
They're short.
Well, you thought about that when we came up with this idea. Actually, a fella a long time ago used to sing the news on the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday night.
The Opry!
Uh-huh.
Yep. So that's sort of where we got this idea from, really.
And where did you record these in Nashville?
They were in Nashville at Marriott Studios.
Please don't take this the wrong way. I have the greatest respect for our elected officials.
Sure.
But you don't really, like, make real decisions, right, in your job? I mean, what do? You like, in a Mayberry setting?
He's
where
a state senator. Of course he does.
Represents me.
Don, I saw the state. Senator, you are the real deal. You are a real state senator.
Yes, I am.
But listen to it, though.
Don't judge the man on the music solely.
I can't help. All M is a friend to all. He's made it to the top.
Hold on, let me find your song about dentists.
Yeah, about going to the dentist, that was written. The one you were just playing is the one I wrote about a guy who was inducted to the Broadcasters Hall of Fame down here last year.
Okay. Here's the senator's song about dentists.
The
Sounds like the other song.
It does.
I went to my dentist. It was annual visit time. He checked me out and told me I was doing fine. For my yellow teeth, doc, what would you recommend? He said, wear a brown tie and they will blend right in.
Happen again in months and months.
I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months.
Well, you know what? You got it.
They're the crickets. Let me just say that I think the name that comes to my mind is...
I go with that cut.
...is Jim Stafford.
Yes.
I think you could be a modern-day...
political Jim Stafford.
Jim Stafford.
Well, you know, I know how difficult it is to get a full play, a song on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
So we thought if we could just come up some little funny things, maybe about 35 or 40 seconds long, we might get some airplay.
Now, again, I mean no disrespect here, sir.
Yeah.
What would be the piece of legislation or the law that you have
most
recently voted in that you feel very proud about?
Well, we just passed a bond bill that is going to enable us, that is the state of North Carolina, to build a world-class cardiovascular unit over in East Carolina University.
That sounds wonderful.
I went to see my doctor about a month ago.
It's just now, it's a different one.
I knew I wasn't feeling good, and I told him so.
I like the dentist one.
He gave me pills and told me I'd soon be on the mend.
Right.
I just got his bill today. Now I'm sick again.
Song's almost over, Mike.
But I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months.
Bum, bum, bum.
I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months.
We'll have to get you guys to help me on my next session, sound like.
It would be an honor and a privilege.
Now, I see that not only are you a North Carolina General Assembly State Senator, you're on the Committee for Agriculture and Environmental and Natural Resources.
Yes,
you're the chairman of that.
Yep.
You're the Appropriations Transportation Subcommittee Vice Chairman.
That's right.
The Finance and Judiciary and Constitution, Local Government, all of this stuff on this guy's resume.
And an album. Do you have any political aspirations higher than the state senate?
No, I don't think I do. I've had some folks encourage me to do that in years past, but I think I've about reached that place I feel comfortable at.
Okay.
Right. May I ask, sir, your hairdo? May I ask, are you gray?
I'm gray, and I've got a full set of hair. I'm lucky to have that, but I've got a full set of hair, and it is rather white. Yeah.
All right. Very good. And how? And may we ask how old you are, sir?
I was 72 years old.
72 years young.
72 years old. Well, who knows? Maybe the musical career will blossom.
And I've still got a lot of energy.
Yeah. You sound like it.
When is the next time you're up for re-election, sir?
In fact, I'm running now. We'll have an election November the 2nd, and I hope to be successful again and do another 2 years in the Senate.
I recommend getting these records out to all of your constituents as soon as possible.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm gonna be going back before too long to do another one.
We want them more.
Now, sir, would it be possible that I know you're very busy with all of these committees that you're on, you're chairperson of so many important government type activities? Do you think you might be able to write a song about us, the Don and Mike Show?
Is there any way, Senator?
Well, you know, I think I very well might be able to do that.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be wonderful, sir. And let's hear it. Yeah, let's hear another one. an all-new different one.
Mike. Looks like the price of gasoline is going to the moon.
Jesus.
And don't expect we leave, at least not anytime soon.
The singing center.
We'd wear holes in both our shoes and gladly miss a meal.
Everybody ready?
One more gallon.
Okay.
4 hour on the move.
Sing a long time.
But I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months. I don't reckon that'll happen again in months and months and months.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay!
Oh, we're having some fun today.
Tell me just a little bit more about your show so I'll know what to sort of write about.
Well, all right, we're controversial.
Controversial.
Oh, we're less controversial than we used to be.
Right.
And we're on about 45 stations. And
45 stations?
Yeah. It's really a crummy show, but it's a good...
like it anyway.
It's a good crummy show.
I see.
And we're slightly overweight.
How many stations do you, how many states do you go in with the 45?
You got me, sir. I'd say 20 states.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And sadly for you.
What other subject can we
sadly
get?
Sadly for you, none in North Carolina.
None in North Carolina.
We're big in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. We're big in Texas. We're big in California. Nobody in North Carolina, though.
We need to get you here in North Carolina.
That'd be great. Well, I would say you're a man with power. You could probably make that happen.
How long does your show last?
You talk so funny. 4 hours, sir.
4 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours.
That's great.
Yeah. Rob, what were you going to
say? I was going to say about four more years.
Yes, perhaps the next time we meet, sir, we'll be able to share a mint julep together.
You are, sir.
White seersucker suits.
I am definitely going to try to write one about Don and Mike.
That's very good, Senator.
Thank you. And listen, do you have an email address where maybe someone on listening to this show would want to call you? Because here you are, an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
We never get elected officials on our show.
No.
Maybe you'd like to answer some fan mail. Do you have an email address?
I've got one, but I don't have it right here. It's on the Raleigh. It's on the website.
Go to the Raleigh website. All right, well, listen.
General Assembly website.
Don't worry about it, Senator.
I've got a little website, Charlie, SingingSenator.com.
SingingSenator.com.
SingingSenator.com, everybody.
We've got a transfer problem. What else can you say? And it's getting worse.
What's the problem?
Each
and is it trash?
Day,
yes. I don't know.
Just say the word landfill, and yeah, folks will fight it hard.
Everybody ready?
Like all the rest, I want one.
I
want
to hear all you people in your cars.
Backyard. But I don't reckon it'll happen again. In months.
How'd we do?
That's pretty good. I like that.
Well, it's been great having you on the show.
Fresh from Mayberry.
Thank you very much.
Charlie Albertson, the singing senator from the North Carolina General Assembly.
Senator, you're a very good sport.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. It's been great being with you, and I'll try to write a song about Don and Mike.
God bless you, Senator.
Thank you.
See you later.
You take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Lawmaker.
Oh,
songmaker.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
I need to give him a message. Otis is drunk.
Otis is drunk. Lloyd. The Pigeon Sisters are coming back into town.
Girls.
You remember those girls? Hi, Andy. And one of them called Barney. It wasn't Barney.
Called him Bernie.
Hi, Bernie.
Was it the Pigeon Sisters?
No, it was the Good Time Girls were their names.
Yeah. The Good Time Girls.
I just called them the Pigeon Sisters. But Andy and Barney would always be at the jail, and Thelma, Lou, and what's her name? Helen Crump would be at the movies, and they came by, and Andy and Barney were shacking up with these girls.
Was that before or after the senator went up to Mount Pilot to record the record?
I wanted to just make a record. Boo! Boo!
Come here, Barney. Hi, Sheriff.
Anyway, that's
oh, boy.
That's the thing of senator.
More information at Sarah.com.
Sarah.com. Okay. Are these people that wanted to talk to that dude?
Sure.
Hold on a second. Can this be Randy?
Yo.
Yeah, Don and Mike show. Hey, Randy.
Hey, I'm telling you, the more you play those guys' songs, the more it started growing on me, you know?
I am not going to lie. I think that the one about the dentist...
like a tumor. Like a goiter it grows.
Turn that onto a CD for me.
It's not a tumor.
Get out of here.
I don't have my website exactly in front of me.
I'm 72.
Hello. Dustin, Don and Mike show. Dustin.
Hey. I just want to know if you get any singing senator dolls or posters of them. I'm really interested in this guy.
You got my doll. Mm. I've got my dolls out. My anatomically correct dolls.
I think it is safe.
We're jamming out and work to the songs. You can't get enough of it.
I think it is safe to say we've tapped into a vein of something wonderful with the senator here.
We are marketing an inflatable love doll of sorts, but you'd have to email me, and I don't have that in front of me. Look on Raleigh.
I will play my
Raleigh website.
My song about the dentist will amuse you, the brown tie and the yellow teeth.
That was funny.
Yeah. That was. Hey, we legitimately laughed.
That was funny.
Gotta give credit where credit's
due. All right, so there he is. He has heard the show when he's been in D.C., and there we are, returning the favor with Senator Charles W. Albertson.
Senator Albertson, on my plantation. I'm blessed.
blessed, I say, to have a full head of hair. Hair, that is.
Son, I say, son.
Well, burn that onto
a set of CDs. Jeff, here's a guy, Jeff, I think already went to the senator's website. Jeff?
Yes, he's one handsome-looking fellow.
Oh, so you already looked at SingingSenator.com?
SingingSenator.com, yeah.
And?
And he's a very good-looking guy for 17.
Okay.
Hey now.
Okay, yeah, right. Hey now. Hey now, homo. Don and Mike, hello.
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 Hey, Don and Mike, I just wanted to share with you. I always find you guys hilarious, but 2 weeks ago tomorrow I had a toe surgery, and because of a mixture of oxycodone beer in my water pipe, you guys are just hilarious.
The show is better when you're medicated.
Write down that recipe.
I got it.
It's just kicking my ass.
You listen to that. Bill O'Reilly is good. I mean, if you take that cocktail.
You know, it's an interesting combo. He got me all the way up to the water pipe.
Hello, Don and Mike show. And that's your buzz ass for the recipe.
Sure.
Hello.
You don't have to use water.
Gene?
Don and Mike.
Hi there, Gene.
Yeah, you guys, did you think he sounded a little bit like Major Bill?
Yes.
Yeah.
You should have played that tape or something, maybe talked Major Bill talking to him.
Yeah, but the whole rhythm of it had a Major Bill quality to it, which we haven't had in a long time.
I'm sure he walks with a cane and has a little goatee.
Perhaps.
He does have a goatee.
Right. At some point evolve into a relationship like we had with Major Bill Smith.
You start by gently kneading the senator, and then slowly but surely you enjoy yourself.
Look at Buzz's computer. Buzz is SingingSanity.com.
It's a picture that looks like it's something out of It's a Wonderful Life.
Motivational speeches, songs, humor, inspiration. Scroll down there, please. Buzz, be a dear and scroll down. Click here to see what others are saying.
Yeah.
Let's see what others are saying.
I'd like to know.
Click there, Buzz. Do your point and click, son.
I've clicked and I'm waiting. I think a lot of people are on this website.
You know
right
what's
now.
Happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm not so sure.
We have taken out another website.
We did it yesterday to the Fox Television Network.
What's wonderful about this program is when we involve ourselves with a website, it tends to crash.
And now there's some notice on the computer that's saying something like...
It's just one note from the North Carolina Moose Association.
We're not making it up, folks.
What does it say?
Just a note to express my... He's a motivational speaker, as you said, and this says, just a note to express my gratitude and thanks for a job well done. The show you put on for our 25 club dinner on Friday, August 22nd for the North Carolina Moose Association was a complete success.
Now, roughly a year ago.
Let me say hello to every moose here.
Well, you know what that means?
What?
Is when I construct the congratulatory letter for his appearance on our show,
right?
It'll go right up.
Absolutely.
Hold on, everybody. We got a break. We're in the middle of something. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Can we just go, please? We go? Baby, look at me. Look at me. Your money, you know what else? You're a big winner tonight.
I want to leave.
You're a big winner. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner.
Mikey's the winner. The Don and Mike Show.
That was for you, Mike.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America.
Right.
877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville.
Come tickle the toes of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let's see who's still on the phone. Jamie. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, is it me or did that guy, first of all, sound exactly like Boomhauer's father?
Oh, you mean the singing senator? Yeah.
Click, 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 right? Couldn't you put all of his songs together, say, like, on a track and put them all together and have, like, a four-minute song?
That might be true, and you'd actually have a regular song. It would just be one melody.
Exactly. Yeah. That was great radio, guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay, see you later.
I think if we did that, though, I'd want to shoot myself.
Yeah, me too. That's like ice cream headache times 1,000.
Yeah, and I like them. You know, one of the things that saved those songs at all was the fact that they were, like, 10 seconds long.
And brilliantly written and performed.
Genius!
Hello, Don and Mike. Vaughn?
Is this the Yellen FM hotline?
Pardon me?
Is this the Yellen FM hotline?
Yellen FM!
Hi! Hold on, you gotta turn it on if it's a Yellen FM call. Give me just a second. Let me, just, again. Yeah.
My the 100th caller to the guest Alan's shoe size contest.
Hi, this is Yalen on Yalen FM. You're listening to more commercials more often on Yalen FM. This is Yalen Line 1. All commercials, all of the time. And the answer is zero. Zero. I cut off my feet. I did because I didn't want to pay for shoes. No, that's a joke. I was being a shock jock. Hi, everyone. I'm Yalen Line 1 on Yalen FM. I won't tell you my shoe size, but I'll tell you what kind of shoe I wear. Only the best commercials all day long on Yelling FM. I wear a penny loafer.
There you go.
Goodbye.
Nice.
Get out of here. Get out of here, you dumbass. Hello there.
Hi.
The Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Come on.
I wanted you guys to know that that interview with the senator was probably one of your best ever, and I reckon it won't happen again for months and months and months.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
That was good. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on. You got a prize.
All right.
That's such a good put down. And, you know, what's sad, Mike?
Yes.
So true.
So true. Yeah.
So very true.
But I know.
Yeah. You know, like I said, we got a crummy show, but every once in a while we luck into something good.
A diamond.
Absolutely.
Bob is, Joe's got your name. Bob, where are you calling from in California?
I'm in Chico.
In Chico, then let me give you the HBO Entourage prize pack. All new episode of this really good show on HBO, Sunday night, 10, 9 Central on home box office. Thanks, hold on.
You
bet. For listening, and this is John. Johnny.
Yes.
Don and Mike Show. Yeah.
Donnie, next week, starting from Monday, you got 6 days of football out of eight.
Don't you got, I know it. Now, are you counting the NFL Network?
No.
You mean you're going to have actually six exhibition games?
Yeah, there's like a game a
day.
There's a game a day.
You got the Hall of Fame thing on Monday.
Yeah, and then it starts, like there's a Wednesday night game, a Thursday night game, a Friday night game, a Saturday night game, a Sunday night game.
It's so nice to see you this time of year.
And just wait until, dude, listen, I'm not doing commercials for them, but do you have the NFL Network?
No, nuh-uh.
Here's why you need it. They're going to be televising 56 preseason games.
Out of those 56 games, how many do you think you'll watch?
I swear to Christ, I have already programmed into my TiVo, because a lot of them will be running when the show's on.
Right.
Like, they're going to rerun, like, games that were on Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. They'll rerun them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon.
Right.
I programmed my TiVo to record every one.
Wow.
Because I love it. I love it so much. There's nothing. Thank you for the call. I can't imagine anything better than coming home. There's nothing on TV, and I go, wait a minute, hold on. I've got Houston versus San Diego.
You know, we're talking about another sport right now, but can I bring something up that I wanted to ask you about? It was just a wild hair idea that I had.
Sure.
And I'm at your mercy on this particular idea. It's just a thought I had.
Is this about the Red Sox
bet? It is. Yes, okay. It is. And it's about a modification, and you, of course, can... Now, wait.
Hear me. Okay, all right, but I'm allowed to have a facial tick.
You had a big facial tick.
I'm allowed to have a tick when I get the feeling that maybe you're going to welch on the belt.
I'm not.
A little bit.
I'm not. I could pay the bet off. You know, I obviously have said that I will wait till it's mathematically over, but it's obvious to me that it's probably over for the Red Sox and our bet.
Right.
My question was...
Yes?
If I agreed to do one extra thing, I would still... Hold on. Because you gave me the look, and now I'm getting all
selling
nervous.
Me a bill of goods here.
I'm not selling. I'm not. What I'm saying is, the bet was if the Yankees finish ahead of the Red Sox, I have to do the massage. You know, vice versa, you have to do the massage.
With Tom Gavin, right.
Here you go. Mm-hmm. We take you doing the massage out of this, okay?
Well, of
course. It's kind
of
like a double or nothing for me. What I'm saying is, I want something to make baseball interesting. It's not interesting anymore. It's just a nonstop depression. However, they are still involved in a postseason play for the...
La, 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 la,
what I offer to you...
La, 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 la.
You do not... If the Red Sox...
La, 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 la.
Can I just make a suggestion?
Okay, go ahead. I'd put my fingers in my ears if I wasn't wearing headphones.
I will still do the massage, all right?
The Tom Gavin full-body massage while Tom is nude.
While Tom is nude.
Yes.
And if you give me a double or nothing, which means if the Red Sox win the wild card,
yeah.
I don't have to do the massage. But if the Red Sox don't make it to the postseason and don't make the wild card, I will do the massage in my underwear.
It is just, see, I knew that you might have a thought. You might
give me 24 hours to think about it.
And more that's only fair.
You know, here's the thing, Mike.
It's just a thought.
I do profess to know a lot about football, and I follow it passionately. Baseball, I don't. Let me do some research. I know the Red Sox.
They are currently a game and a half in back of Texas.
Yeah.
In the wild card. And they are not looking.
You've got Texas. You've got Oakland as a possible wild card.
California.
And you can't even rule out Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's a stretch. But no, there are many teams that are involved in it. Okay,
fair enough. I'll consider it.
You understand, though. I mean, I will pay off the bet as it stands. You know, and right now it's looking shaky.
And you're just raising the stakes a little bit.
And it's the postseason. You know, in the event there was some miracle comeback and they won the American League East,
hold on,
they'd still make it to the postseason.
Here's a call for you, Jason.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Yeah.
Do not give up on the Red Sox. Believe me, they have 6 games in August. They're going to destroy the Yankees. Don't worry about it.
Wait, here's the deal. I don't have to. I don't. Yeah, the deal is. Well, see, that's the thing. If I want this, I have to give.
Correct.
If the Red Sox win the American League East by 2 games,
then you win the bet flat out.
The bet flat out, and you fully clothed give Tomlin a sign.
Right.
In the event that they don't win the bet, but they make it to the postseason, what I'm saying now, if I get that side bet, if you will, I don't have to do. If they make it to the postseason, I don't have to do the massage either. But If they don't make it to the postseason, I do the massage.
Now you're confusing me.
And I do it in my underwear.
Now you're confusing me. You know me. Keep it simple.
Well, that's what it is.
K-I-S-S. Keep it simple for stupid.
It's just I consider the bet, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in them, but I'm going to hang in there with them. Mm-hmm. But if they make it to the postseason, the bet is, you know, neither one of us has to pay off. And in the event that... No.
I like just the original bet. I thought
you were going to say 24 hours and think about it.
I oversold it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mike, yesterday I mentioned this on the show.
Wait, excuse me. Don't poo-poo me. Don't poo-poo me. Are you telling me that there's no chance of a modification of this better?
You know, now I don't even really understand. If you would be so kind as to shoot me an electronic mail, what's the problem with that?
All right.
What's the problem with shooting me an email?
I explained it completely.
I don't follow it. I don't. What is it? If the Red Sox
make it to the postseason,
then
nobody pays off.
No way. My answer to that is no. I don't care if you're in your underwear or not. Your original bet that you brought to the table,
okay,
way back in April, was that the Red Sox would win the American League East
by 2 games.
We're so sure.
I was just saying
it would win by 2 games.
It would make it more interesting for me just to follow the baseball season. But I will honor my bet. I will pay it off.
That's too bad.
I'm not doing that. I was just trying to modify the bet. I accept that. I'm not whining.
Okay. And I would think that you would hold me to the same standard.
Of course.
That now I'm looking forward to you giving Tom the massage.
Can I do it in my underwear anyway? No. That's funny,
Rob.
That's funny.
Boy, we're running out of time here. I did mention... Mike,
thanks for listening.
This is for you.
Anyway.
This is for you. How you doing anyway, huh?
How are you anyway?
Turning...
Japanese.
And hold on, Mike is not welching. I'm not letting him out of this. Don?
I'm not welching.
Okay, well, never mind. I just hung up on that guy.
Good.
Guy said Mike is welching. No, the original belt.
No, not welching.
Yes.
No.
Mike, I mentioned this yesterday very briefly. Let me tell you right before we go to Buzz. 40% of young ladies, and by young, I mean under the age of 17. Your daughters are now...
9 and 7.
40% of them have had bisexual experience.
Yes.
Girls under 17, 40% have just kissed.
Okay.
31, petting.
Mm-hmm.
21% all the way.
Oh, God.
And let me see, just in case you fear that your precious daughter has been pressured into this now, 34% of these girls say they were drinking or drunk when they had their first lesbian encounter. 9% blame the drugs. 20% of these girls under 17 thought they might be bi, wanted to try it. 5% were influenced by celebrity bisexuals like Madonna and Britney.
Wow.
And 5% did it to get a rise out of a guy. And over 50%, no pun intended, say that their experience was with a girl that they already knew. So, this brings us...
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
This brings us to the next logical step,
mm-hmm,
that kids are now wearing bracelets.
We talked about this.
Oh, yeah,
I
heard about that. Yeah. Right.
Now, I have the color code. This is not a joke.
Yeah, this is true. This is a true story.
The color code for your kids, your high school kids, junior high, elementary.
Yeah.
If you catch your kid wearing a bracelet, just a plain...
Like a jelly bracelet, I guess. They call them snap bracelets sometimes.
Yeah, or even just, you know, a plastic thing that goes around. Anyway, black means all the way.
Wow.
Blue means that special favor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've edited this because the show we do now.
Right.
Red means she gives lap dances.
Mm-hmm.
Green means she gets the special favor. She doesn't give it, she gets it.
Wow.
Clear means, and hey, if your daughter's wearing a clear bracelet,
congratulations.
Call the cops, because that means your choice.
Wow.
Orange means all she wants to do is kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow means all she wants to do is hug. Purple means the thing that I think is bad.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Kids?
Yes, mm-hmm. Kids.
Oh, my God.
Silver, even worse than the bad thing that I don't like to talk about.
Oh, my God.
White means they'll flash. Pink means that they'll flash top and bottom.
What are you grinning at?
If they have a gold or a glitter color bracelet, it means they will make out. If they have a brown bracelet, that is even worse than the thing that's worse than the bad thing. And finally, if they have a glow-in-the-dark bracelet, that means your daughter is into toys.
Wow.
And I don't mean, you know, like Elmo speaking and spell toys. You know the kind of toys I mean. There's your
teen update.
What is this from? Yeah, this is more than 1,000 girls took part in the survey where we had the percentages, and then they did the sex bracelet color code.
They're
actually passing out the sex bracelet thing to parents. They're sending this home to parents.
So parents can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. I'd want that.
So how about that?
And, you know, just goes to show what I've maintained for years. Elimination of all jewelry.
So you come to... Ben Al, what if your daughter had a clear one on that you couldn't see?
Well, and, I mean, that I wouldn't see it, so what would I do?
Well, clear is the worst.
I know.
Clear is...
Dealer's choice.
Your choice.
I guess the way this works is a guy comes along and snaps the bracelet off the girl's wrist, and if he succeeds in that, then the girl is agreeing to do whatever the color code says.
Andy.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Andy, turn down your radio, you perv. What can we do for you?
I'll tell you about my bracelet. It's black, and on the other side, it has a rainbow.
Oh, so you wear...
I think we know what he's looking for.
Yeah, okay, we got you. Okay, thank you. I thought mainly girls wore these bracelets, but maybe boys wear them as well. I thought... Hasn't everything I've read indicated that girls wear them?
That's what I've heard.
Then boys, like you said, Buzz,
attack them, you know, in a kind of like a tribal ritual.
Break them off. Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
No, I just want to tell Mike that he's a welcher. He's a classic Boston welcher.
Mike has not welched on this bet. Stop it.
No, he's not welching, but he's sure wiggling bad.
I wiggle a little bit because it's simply, you know, I'm going to pay the bet, but I really wanted to make it more interesting. And last night, especially when they went back to 9 games behind the Yankees, I'm just getting bored with this because it's really...
9, which is really 11.
Which is really 11. They really played themselves out of it for, you know, for coming back. So I wanted something to make it more interesting, but I fully intend to pay the bet and give Tom the massage.
Mike has never welched on a bet, nor have I with each other. Stand-up guys.
I've never done a welch job. That was a renegotiation, and it was handily rejected, and I accept that.
Hello, Hefe, is that right? Is this Alex or another Hefe? Hello?
Hello, me?
Yeah, dude, what's your name?
Jeffy, J-I-F-F-Y.
Jeffy, not Hefe.
Oh, Jeffy.
Hi, Jeffy.
Jeffy. Jeffy's on the phone.
Jeffy.
Hi, Jeffy. Are you extra crunchy or creamy? Excuse me, that's Jiffy, not Jeffy. Anyway, Jeffy, what's up?
You guys were just talking about those the color bracelets, the gel bracelets.
Yes.
This last semester in school, there was, you know, one of the adult learners in my class that had told everybody about these because he found his daughter wearing a ton of them one day.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, of course, everyone makes fun of them. And the guy is, you know, judging his daughter on this. Turns out, though, that the guy was, it was probably like...
Sir, can I just say something to you?
Yes.
We don't do the type of show that we used to, but I think I can get away with this language. Call us after your testicles drop.
Okay? See you later.
Bye-bye. Hi, Jeffy.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Aaron, hi. Don on my show.
Hey, I was going to say, I wish that color scheme went with the terror level scheme.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? Is that when they would, like, raise the terror level to orange, we'd all get a favor?
We'd all get the special favor.
Yeah, that is a brilliant call, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
It's a way to cope with the stress. Okay, the terror level is red, but I got news for you. We get to do anybody.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, actually, Buzz, did you write this?
Yeah. Those are the real colors. I used the real bracelet.
In a world where only radio was strictly forbidden,
ready for some
jokes? Man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me.
He made it up.
All right, so here you go. Buzz working during the show. Here is Buzz's sex bracelet / terrorism color code.
Good, Buzz.
Based on the real colors.
Red means either severe warning for terrorists or lap dance.
I like that.
Orange means high alert for terrorists or a French kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow means elevated or a hug. Blue is guarded or a special favor.
Uh-huh.
Green means low. She gets the favor.
Oh, it's so peaceful.
There you go. That's Buzz working during the show.
Yeah, it's amazing the things that really get him going.
Yeah.
Not really.
No, really.
Yeah.
Buzz, what's the lead story tonight besides the fact you're going home to print as many clear bracelets as you possibly can?
Today, the Tigger teen touching trial, the verdict... not guilty.
Oh, really?
Hey,
yeah.
Now.
Wow. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Cresta?
The Don and Mike Show.
Words are hard for them. Don and Mike.
Let me mention that tomorrow on the show, the secret sound is worth $1,500. $1,500 tomorrow with the secret sound. Also tomorrow, if you're a diehard football fan like I am, it's the X's and the O's.
Something for the real football fan.
Serious football fan. Tomorrow, we'll want to be listening when we have a real NFL expert on the phone. It's someone equally expert to ask questions.
Good.
You're going to be here tomorrow, right, Buzz?
I'm not sure now.
No, be ready, Buzz. Monday on the show, Dr. 90210, uh-huh. Plastic surgeon to the stars, Dr. Ray. And also Monday, the other mommy from Trading Spouses.
Oh, I love her already.
Lisa Bowers, the mommy that we didn't have on last week. Oh, and Fox, the TV network, called today to say thank you, everybody, for clogging up their internet site, Fox.com, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a hell of a lot of people.
Good.
Emailing them, sending them pictures.
That's exciting.
Trying to get their families signed up for Trading Spouses. So let's see if that happens. Buzz's news brought to you now by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break. Revolutionary talent for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Here is Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A man who once played Tigger on the grounds of Walt Disney World in Orlando has been found not guilty of touching the breast of a 13-year-old girl while...
That's right.
...posed for a photo. After less than an hour of deliberation, the jury found 36-year-old Michael Chartrand not guilty of the charges that could have landed him in prison for 15 years.
Oh, man, a triumph for Christopher Robin.
When he heard the verdict... Chartrand hugged his lawyer, who still plays Tigger himself part-time,
and grabbed a little feel.
Prosecutors had produced several photos seized from Chartrand's home of him in costume posing with women and girls.
You know who we should sue, though, really? Is it Kenny Loggins that did that Welcome to Pooh Corner?
Yeah, Loggins and Messina, wasn't it?
God, right. You know, between
House at Pooh Corner.
Between that and the wedding song.
Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. Got a honey bear stuck in his hand.
Shoot me now.
But I wandered so far.
Mike,
I love that song.
Will you sing the wedding song as well?
Oh, catch me if you can. I wanna go back to the house of Pecorna by one.
He's stuck on the house of Pecorna.
Yeah. Get all the bees in the hive. Chase all the clouds from the sky. Chase the clouds away.
Mike?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
The prosecutors say they found these photos in Chartrand's home. They say his hands were in what they called questionable positions that violate Disney rules. But Tigger's lawyer says the girl's mom just wanted some of that Disney money.
Right.
Well, this answers one question. The young man for whom Mary Kay Letourneau went to prison says he still loves her.
Oh, boy.
Letourneau spent 9 years behind bars for rape because of a relationship with what was, at the time, a 12-year-old boy. That boy is now 21, not 19, as I said yesterday. He's also an unemployed high school dropout, but he says he still loves her.
Good haircut, incidentally, on this lad.
Yes, very handsome.
What he's got is the shaved look going on, like someone put a bowl on his head.
Oh, that look? And then it's like buzzed on the side?
It's buzzed on the side, and it's long like Mo from the Three Stooges on top. And he's got a ponytail coming out of the back of it.
Does he still have the triangle head?
Yes,
I remember when he was a youth, he had a triangle shape.
And here is, from courtesy CNN, here he is last night speaking to the press.
I'm bored. Let's get some beer and chicks and have a real party.
And yesterday, just hours after Mary Kay was released from prison, this young man asked the court to drop the order that still keeps them apart. The mother of his two children, now a registered sex offender, left prison yesterday at age 42, just before daybreak, still...
Are you retarded?
Even
it's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
Even at that early hour, there were guys outside the prison holding signs like, I'm 18 and take me, baby.
Oh, God. They're worse than the ones getting out of jail.
Yeah.
Scott Peterson cried in court yesterday as a friend described what a devoted partner Scott was for his late wife's Lamaze classes.
God.
The Northern California man accused of killing his pregnant wife doesn't usually show much emotion. The prosecution says Scott was more concerned with an overcooked chicken at one point than he was the disappearance of his wife. But yesterday's defense witness described Scott as a man excited about the baby he and Lacey were expecting.
Right.
The witness also testified Scott never mentioned the woman he was seeing on the side or about the boat he'd purchased, the one prosecutors say was used to dump Lacey's body in San Francisco Bay. But today, that trial is on hold for a week, because Scott's attorney says that he now has evidence that will prove his client innocent. We'll see.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
That's what he said.
No, the innocent until proven guilty in
That's
America.
Or the other way around.
Yes.
As far as
the way you've always wanted to rewrite it.
Donnie guilty.
Donnie Justice.
I mean, who doesn't know that guy's guilty? So is the guy in Salt Lake. They're both guilty.
In a court of law, anything's possible.
You mean Mark Hacking, who's confessed to killing his pregnant wife?
And again...
What a nasty name for him.
His name... I mean, you know, when I hear it, when they say news on the Hacking situation...
Right, right.
You know, and then you got the picture of the girl and the weird skinhead-looking guy, and they keep saying, Hacking, Hacking, Hacking.
Well, that's an easy one now. That's a slam dunk, right?
Hacking was reportedly sent home from a church mission for seducing a young woman he helped to convert to the Mormon faith. That's the latest revelation.
Oh, dear.
His friends tell People magazine he was not a good Mormon, that he drank booze and smoked cigarettes. Hacking stopped seeing that other woman for a while and got treatment for depression.
Hacking cough.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
John!
See, it was hacking cough.
Hacking cough.
See, hacking has two different...
Yes, three. Several, yes.
Computer.
Right. Computer.
Right, computer hacking.
Hacking like with an axe.
Yeah, and then...
Hacking cough.
Or if you count this guy. He reportedly told a psych ward worker he'd killed his wife while she slept and threw her body into a dumpster. Word is he also confessed to his brother. And from our Homeland Insecurity Department...
Cameron Gray, Operations Director. Don't blame me.
No.
Okay, we won't.
A man with an Arabic name says he didn't mean to try to board a plane with a loaded handgun. And
okay, Buzz, let me just stop you right there again. Guilty.
Guilty!
I don't care what the story is. Guilty.
He says he didn't mean to get on the plane with the handgun or the folding knife or the 10 syringes.
Guilty!
65-year-old Ali Reza Khatami was arrested a little over a month ago.
You should have flagged him right there.
Tried to board a United flight to Washington's Reagan National Airport. Ali's attorney says his client had forgotten he was carrying the weapons
The lawyer says Ali put the weapons into a bag he meant to put into his garage, but in the rush to the airport, he forgot to go to the garage.
Right.
Prosecutors say Ali also had an oven mitt, which they describe as a low-tech silencer.
Ooh. Are you sure it wasn't Jag?
No, I'm positive. No, he was here.
Hodgy, the guy that works up here on the third floor here?
No. Okay.
All right. No. Well, Mike, you got to be vigilant.
I know.
That's what they keep saying. You know, keep watching.
Jag's not a perp. He's a witness.
Orange alert.
And I watch him every night when he leaves on his flying carpet. I wonder where he's going now. To what next exciting Johnny Quest adventure he's off to?
Dance incident. Dance incident.
Ah-yee! And he really does look like Hodgy. Yeah. He does. I mean, that name is given to him affectionately.
Right, and his little dog, Bandit.
You know, no offense intended.
Race Bandit.
No.
Dr. Quest.
No offense.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Right.
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well.
Right. Come on. Just say no offense.
No disrespect to the Orioles.
No disrespect.
What we call Jap plays.
No disrespect.
Okay. Surprise things, and no disrespect to anyone.
Parcells. I saw Parcells on TV today. Right. I'm sure you read this stuff about Quincy Carter.
Oh, not a good time to be a Dallas Cowboy fan.
So they got, the thing is, I'm watching
They got Benny Testaverde, though.
I'm watching the press conference. So what is it? This guy's like Ricky Williams that he tested positive.
Right. Cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Ricky Williams was pot, this guy's coke. Either way, they're having the press conference, and no one wants to say what it is,
yeah.
why they're letting him go. You got Parcells, who's dancing around it, going, you know, I got 18 months invested in this guy, Jerry's, but we got to have guys on the team that are guys that we want to have, and the right. guys want to bust their butt. When really, all those, just be honest, guy failed the drug test, mm-hmm. you canned his ass.
He's gone.
That's the way Parcells runs.
And he can't play in the NFL.
Right. At least for now.
There have been, and we'll have more news about Ricky Williams shortly, but first there have been some other and even more successful blows against terrorism. Hats off, first of all, to the Brits for capturing a major al-Qaeda figure this week.
That's right, they truly did.
But in Albany, New York, two leaders of a mosque were arrested yesterday in a sting operation. Both men supposedly have indirect links to al-Qaeda.
More for the good guys.
These men believed they were helping a terrorist buy a shoulder-firing missile, like the one that blew up a DHL plane in Baghdad last year.
If you could just give me a second, Rob would like me to...
The man they thought was a terrorist was actually an undercover agent.
Call upstairs. And talk to Jag, if he's still here.
Jag has a beard, and Haji didn't, so this would be the grown-up Haji.
Grown-up Haji, right. Is he there? Where is he at, huh?
Exactly.
Do we know where he is?
I didn't seek.
Do we know where he's at? Haji?
Last I saw, he was up front drinking a beer.
You've reached the WJFK business office. Presently closed.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, we got that ridiculous.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Hey, what was that I heard about this shoulder...
The shoulder firing missile, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. That I saw some guy... You know, all the news channels have defense experts.
Yes.
Well, maybe this is Haji calling back. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Jag.
What's up?
Hey, listen, dude. You weren't in Albany, New York recently, were you?
No.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's all we wanted to know.
That's all we needed, Jag.
Okay, so I missed out. What was this all about?
Terrorism.
Oh, okay, that's cool. You want me to call my cousins and make sure that they didn't do anything?
All right.
Just check in regularly.
Jag always gets the joke, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Haji.
All right, have a good day.
See you later.
Yep. Bye.
So anyway,
call my cousins. That's fantastic.
They're doing a story about these the scam that we're talking about where the agent went and bought this shoulder thing.
Right.
And one of the guys from some defense contractor company mm-hmm. was on TV on CNN being interviewed and said, we recently did a poll where we had a couple of our guys out in the field and they actually fired these things at airplanes.
Right.
They fired these things at airplanes, and then they polled the government mm-hmm. to see what would you do. And, like, they went to Congress, they went to the Senate, okay, now we have two guys with shoulder rocket launchers, firing at our airplanes. What would you do? 67% of these elected officials said they would have the airports remain open because it's important that we keep our lives running as smoothly as possible.
Right.
Second question. If, in fact, the news had gotten out that two guys in whatever places in the country
right.
were shooting at planes, would you have your family fly on the same day? 97% said they would call their family to say, whatever you do, don't get on an airplane today.
Sure.
This is part of the problem that we have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, you know, I mean, on one hand, we are supposed to go on out and live our lives. And I agree with that. No matter what happens, a plane gets shot down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're on a flight,
you have to go on.
You cross your fingers and you wish for luck. But on the other hand, if the guys that are making the laws that are telling us to go live our lives, 97% of them say they would tell their families not to get on a plane.
That's the way it is. Some kind of a similar thing. That would you send your kids over to Iraq?
Right.
That's very similar to that.
Answer, no.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm just speaking for myself. unless he punches another hole in the wall. Then perhaps.
Then go. One of the criticisms of the CIA by the 9/11 Commission report is that the American spy agency has no imagination. The CIA says it's taken that advice to heart and made a phone call to the coast, the left coast, Hollywood, California.
Well, they're not creative enough?
A CIA official announced yesterday that the agency is willing to, quote, push beyond the traditional boundaries of intelligence. He says officials have met with
Matt LeBlanc,
David Schwimmer,
and what's his name, Joey.
Right.
I forget. Matt LeBlanc was, who's the guy that I
was? He was Joey.
Was Joey.
Oh, and Matthew
Chandler
Perry.
Was Matthew Perry.
Chandler Bing was the guy I met at the Super
Ross.
Bowl, the cool guy.
And Schwimmer was Ross.
Right. Those are the guys he met with.
Now, this guy says the CIA has met with science fiction writers and screenwriters and the people behind the movies and TV shows that, quoting the CIA guy, shows that often have a terrorism theme.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, they would be better talking to the people from Friends.
You know, isn't it the way it's supposed to work? It's the intelligence agencies that are, you know, doing the stuff that the movie people steal from. Mm-hmm. That's the way I always thought it was supposed to go.
Right.
I used to be that way, but the CIA's fallen a bit behind.
Hey, that's a real cool car. I'm going to ask that producer about that.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg, there's a call for you. It's the CIA.
Now, can you imagine that?
Right. How do you do that thing where the bicycle floated? can you share that with us?
We can use that thing.
You know that one where you had a little creature? How'd you do that?
And also, we were down at Universal recently. How do you get that thing where E.T. says your name?
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely fantastic. We can use that, I think. I'm not sure how. Do you know how, Phil? No, I don't know how.
Everybody's innovating. The Middle East strife that's the source of a lot of the world's terrorism also takes its toll on Israeli soldiers, and the Israeli army believes it may have found a way to treat that stress with weed. The mental health department of the Israeli army's medical court is thinking about giving cannabis to the soldiers returning from the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, all the Palestinian territories.
Joe's just decided,
I'm going to serve in the Israeli army, and I'm pretty psyched.
Fleeing America to serve for Israel.
They say they hope it'll reduce the risk of stroke in soldiers suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mazel tov. Joe Arden's your private first class, reporting for duty, sir.
Shalom, my brothers.
Sounds we got a break. What's next? Country singer Charlie Daniels tells Arab Americans he's not a racist.
Oh, dear.
Right. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Trying desperately to give the human spirit some credit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I want to mention this before we get out of here tonight. Please make sure to Washington WJFK, Baltimore Live 105, Tampa 1010 The Buzz. Rod and Fez come on after us.
Just saw Fez Watley out in the hallway.
That's the best nighttime show in America. So please don't change the station.
Right on.
And now here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Country singer Charlie Daniels wrote this shortly after 9/11, and it became a hit.
Right?
This ain't no rag, it's a flag, and we don't wear it on our heads.
You're telling me like I don't know this song.
It's a symbol of the land where the good guys live. For months and
months
and months.
And the devil went down to Georgia.
But now, as Charlie Daniels...
Looking for a soul to steal.
Now, that's a different song by Charlie Daniels. This is one he came up with after 9/11.
What about the one that said... And the place said it was the Dew Drop In.
Yeah.
And there was,
Uneasy Rider.
There's a commie pinko fag out in the parking lot, and they're running around like their asses was on fire and their heads was catching.
And I kicked old Green Teeth right in the knees. And how many in this room have ever met CD?
I have a photo with him.
You do?
I do.
Oh, okay, you trumped me on that one.
Sorry, buddy.
I go to L.A. via Omaha.
Well, now, as Charlie heads for a concert in Dearborn, Michigan Saturday, there's a protest from the area.
Charlie. Charlie
Daniels.
Wrong Charlie.
Charlie Daniels.
Yes. From the area's Arab Americans comes the protest. There are 300,000 of them in southeastern Michigan. Quoting one of them, someone who's trying
to
get...
someone's got to thin that herd.
Someone who's trying to get popular through bigotry and hatred should not be welcome. They don't like the turban reference.
Must be whack.
Quoting Charlie, it's not anti-Arab or anti-anything. The only thing it's anti is the people who bombed us on 9/11. I'm not a racist person. End quote.
I'm with him. I'm with him. He's a good guy.
But if your domestic airline flight is delayed these days, it's not because of the security. It's because of O'Hare. A new government study says most U.S. airline delays start at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, billed as the world's busiest airport. There were 59,000 delays from O'Hare in just the first half of this year. 59,000 in 6 months. Now, aviation officials are threatening to limit the number of commercial flights in and out of that airport. The FAA has given the airlines one last chance to do their own schedule trimming or have it done for them. Chicago is the country's central hub for airlines and extremely susceptible to bad weather, which is responsible for most of the delays there.
Speaking on the topic, yes. Mayor Daley of Chicago.
Okay. Chicago, that darling, down that darling, down.
Thank you, Mayor.
Chicago, I'll show you right. Oh, I love it all, best. I'm down here, lose. Oh, we're in Chicago, oh, Chicago.
Are you retarded?
Chicago,
no questions.
It's not a rhetorical question. What's are you retarded?
The mayor will answer no questions.
they don't do things.
Are you retarded?
No questions.
Oh, that time of that, anyway. Oh, in Chicago. Oh,
are you retarded?
My hometown.
Press conference over.
There he is. But who says traveling can't be fun? A prankster on a Carnival cruise line got on the ship's PA system Saturday and told the 1,000 passengers, abandon ship!
Oh, my God. I wouldn't do that, but I might make other funny announcements.
Oh, wow. The ship was just hours away from docking in New York, and it frightened the freshly relaxed tourists returning from the Bahamas, especially since the announcement rocked them out of bed at 3:45 a.m.
Wow.
Panic,
that's not funny. We
panic,
shouldn't laugh.
Oh, it's
that.
Hysterical. Panic ensued.
No, Buzz, that's not funny. Nothing funny about
pajama-wearing passengers gathered on deck thinking terrorists had taken over the ship.
And imagine if it was like the Poseidon Adventure, like Ernest Borgnine.
Oh,
and
no.
What's Shelley name? Shelley Winters coming up. was it Van Johnson in that movie, too?
No, Red Button.
Red Buttons. Yeah. I always get them mixed up.
It would be great. It would be Ernest Borgnine in his V-neck undershirt.
Almost his white beater.
Yeah.
His Archie Bunker shirt.
Exactly.
With a V-neck. The captain got on the PA and reassured everyone, and the culprit was never found.
Wow.
In sports, Ricky Williams, as promised. Ricky Williams, who reportedly retired from the NFL to smoke pot, is talking about making a comeback with the Oakland Raiders as soon as next year. Williams says he likes Oakland's strong offensive line. He also says the fans are crazy and would expect a weirdo. And prosecutors in the Kobe Bryant trial say that they will pursue their case even if the alleged victim drops the charges, as she said she might do to pursue a lawsuit against Kobe.
Yeah, this all is about her underpants.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not kidding. You're right.
No, it's
because
just sexual history. Right?
What they want to do is bring her underpants into this and say, look at what's in her underpants days after... No, Mike, I'm not... This is off court TV.
I know.
Look what's in her underpants days after the alleged attack from Kobe Bryant.
Give the prosecutor the stick.
So she now wants to drop this, but this poor bastard cannot buy a bit of good luck.
Well, they love to go after celebrities. Yeah. They really do.
You know, not that he's not guilty or anything, but Jesus, she's ready to drop it, but they're still going to keep it going.
Yeah. Look what they tried to do to Tigger. Finally, this might be the way to go as a millionaire in the arms of a lady. That might be the way to go. But London newspapers say that was no lady fleeing the living room where tycoon Reg Penny died after or perhaps during sex.
Oh, dear.
Go out and take a look at it.
The woman's been identified as a hooker. And police say,
what is it?
Police say they found a bottle of alkyl nitrate next to his naked body.
Fun?
Well, that's a sex stimulant that's inhaled.
Because it's true.
Also known as a popper.
What was the question?
The hooker told police she didn't call an ambulance because she didn't know how to dial 999.
You're damn right.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
I can't hear you.
On the Don and Mike Show.
I'm liable to lose you.
Yeah.
No.
We got to go.
That's it. Wow.
We can't do any more.
No. We've already given too much. We're on fumes.
We got to run. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Blah, blah. Our thanks to Tim Pac-Man.
Yeah, that was fun.
From Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. .com. And the Singing Senator.
Yeah.
Charlie Albertson and his website, Singing Senator.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie.
.com. Tomorrow on the show, Secret Sound worth $1,500. The Friday favorite and an NFL,
X's and O's guys.
Real serious football discussion tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 And Buzz, yeah, you're going to be featured tomorrow on the football segment. We got to go.
Good night.
Stay tuned for Ron and Fez, they're next, and you...
I just want one lamp. That's it.
Oh, that's hey, right.
I forgot about this.
First year?
We better just end the show right now.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Kiss your wife.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.